And welcome to In-Game Chat for Thursday, January 7th, 2010, first show of the new year. The fabulous episode. We're in a different place this time. We've sort of alluded to this in some of our tweets, but we're recording in a new building. We've always done it at the radio station, and this time we're kind of out of our element a little bit, but yet feeling just as comfortable as what we have been. Doesn't seem like it's lost anything, but you may notice a definite audio change here with what we've done. But we'd like your opinion on that, on how you think it goes, and we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at everyone@ingamechat.net. You can send us tweets at ingamechat, and you can also call us at 2017-INGAME. 2017-INGAME is the number. I'm Scott.
I'm James.
Hi, I'm Jeremy.
I'm Matt.
I'm RJ.
I'm Dennis.
Big group here. What did Matt back? Jesus fuck, Matt back. I almost wanted to call you Dave. What did we talk about? I got the list here. I guess you give me.
We talked about what we played. We also discussed Bayonetta and Darksiders for the short amount of time we got to play them.
We talked about and we hit up the tweets
definitely
and the emails.
Playing of that over the weekend. Yep.
Top five. We had our top fives of 2009, and we had a brief discussion about Silent Hill: Shattered Memories.
Yep. And tweets, emails.
Top six and a half in Jeremy's case.
We gave him more time; he'd come back with more. But yeah. So don't forget, you can check us out at colonyofgamers.com over there. We got the forums over there, so post your thoughts there about the episode as well if you'd like to. So
yeah, thanks for listening. Yep. Get in touch.
Enjoy the show.
I look at that picture, I think of that game, Fear.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about earlier. It looks like Alma. I'm sure some people would think of other different things, but we're in a time and a place now, right, where little brunette girls with dark eyes and red coats are equivalent to some level of
terror.
Hellishness and terror. What the fuck are you doing, Matt?
I'm just seeing this.
Well, I'm checking on important stuff over here. I'm trying to see how this old-ass piece of shit game works now that, you know, I'm back home from Iraq. This was new when I went.
Oh, yeah, Jeff wrote us, and he got a nice yellow light for Christmas.
That's good. I mean, it's not good, but it's good that he wrote us. Hey, you should have brought the hot chocolate.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah, I could have used some of that, but you didn't bring it, so. I suppose we'll figure that out. Did you guys find the internet?
Yeah.
Good.
RJ, you and Dennis find the internet?
It's all around us.
Can you feel the internet? Can you sense it?
Have you heard about Sony updating the disc size of the Blu-ray?
Yeah. Yep, I did.
It's pretty nice.
I don't, actually, and I don't completely understand that, because what little I do understand indicates that's a firmware.
That's what I heard,
thing.
Too.
That shit has nothing to do with that. The actual aerial density of the media itself.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we're going to like blow some magic smoke up your Blu-ray player's ass.
And
all of a sudden, Blu-ray discs get bigger.
And it's single-sided, too, not dual-sided.
Yeah, I don't get it. What, from 25 to 33 and a half or something like that? 33.4? Or 30, fucking A, like almost 10 gigs worth of stuff.
I remember back before it launched, they had talked about the like maximum capacity of a Blu-ray disc was estimated to be like 100 and something.
That's fucked up, dude.
Gigabytes, and it, like, as they got bigger, they could just update the players with firmware. So,
yeah, but I mean, this was even saying, like, I mean, I just don't understand. I don't understand how the maximum capacity of a disc that already exists can be increased by manipulating the firmware of the player. I don't get that. That doesn't, you know.
Yeah.
Am I alone in not quite understanding how that works?
I don't get it.
I find it interesting, but yet, you know, at the same time, wondering how the hell they're going to do it.
It's like our.
Isn't that like interesting?
Yeah.
Is it like? Is this resolved?
You don't want to go back to the last Kirby like this. Sorry, Scott's not interrupting because this is what I've been doing to him for the past 6 months.
I'm glad you're back. It's good to have you back. Appreciate your service over there. I'd much rather have your service here. You do good work.
Like your meat shield.
Ah, the good old bullet food. It's about time for you to do your thing, by the way. What thing? He's telling me to do a thing. Now my thing. What is my thing? Let me think for a minute.
Thing ring, do your thing.
The thing we do when we record? And then we start the show? Man, motherfucker. Take you out of the studio. You know what the hell's going on.
Well, normally, like, the first thing I do is, like, I'll hit record.
Yeah, no, no, chatting. You don't do that anymore. Okay. I did that about 5 minutes ago. So then, at some point during a pause, you say,
"What we all play this week?"
Yeah. The thing is, I even know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Is that, was that it?
No.
What is it?
It's cool. You're well, because I know what you're thinking about that. That's, we're gonna do that later, but you need to. I mean, that's kind of it. It doesn't matter that we're like not in the studio anymore and that we're recording on my Mac. Yeah. You know, with our microphones. You're still the host. So you still have to be the host. You don't get off the hook. So
I kind of just wanted to do the intro first. Yeah. I don't know why.
Why?
I don't know. We're doing everything different. Might as well start something new.
Well, you want to do the intro first? Yeah. Record the intro before we record the show?
Yes, because this is a different show. Because we're in a different room. Because we're doing things differently than we've ever done them before, to give a little bit of context as to some of the things that we're talking about.
It's too fucking late.
I know I'm on a roll. I'm going to keep going.
Yeah, we're going.
So we are in a different place. We're in a different room. You're hearing us in a possibly different way, I suppose. I don't know how we're going to sound when this all comes out.
Yeah, I don't know. This is a very different recording, man. For anybody that's paid attention to the show for any amount of time, you know, we've always recorded in an actual radio studio, like a broadcast radio studio, with all of the equipment that a setup like that would offer. And for various reasons, like, that's just not the best. It's kind of untenable, you know, in the long term, possibly even the midterm. So what we're doing now is we're recording at a different location. We're recording on the premises where Jeremy and I spend a lot of our time. But it means that things are now a little more guerrilla, and we got to kind of put things together as best we can. So the sound quality might be different. We're hoping, you know, we're going to solicit when we post this. And I'll go ahead and do it right now. I solicit a lot of feedback about, like, how does it sound? We're using, like, a single mic, an area mic for group pickup. You know, so that everybody hopefully have a more even sound. But, you know, we don't know. We'll change it from week to week. It's just we're kind of jumping back a year and a half to a place where we had to refine our whole operation again. So we're doing it again. We'll probably record in different physical rooms week to week, but we don't know. So here we are.
That'll make it interesting later on when the...
Yeah, because we got some other shit planned too, you know, so...
There's tons of potential with what we're doing. But this is just the first step on that, so we're just trying
to... So it'll be a little bit different. Yeah. It's going to be a little bit weird.
That being said, it's been 2 weeks now since we've all been together. Matt is back.
Hey.
Welcome back, Matt.
Thank you.
And it's been a while to go around and just kind of hit on what all we've done in the past 2 weeks. Dennis, I'll start with you.
I got Spirit Tracks in and played all of that and got some Silent Shattered Memories.
Hey, good. We got a,
damn, that is a good
got name. An email about that coming up later, so you're going to be good. Our go-to guy for that.
Oh.
For Shattered Memories. RJ.
I got a hold of Bayonetta recently on the PS3 and... for some reason, I was playing an old classic. Well, classic to a lot of other players. I played High Velocity Bowling on the PSN Network from 2007.
That just doesn't seem like a game that says
it's a sports title and it's fun.
Oh, well, I guess so. Yeah, you're right.
Why doesn't that seem RJ?
That's pretty much what I spent my time playing, those two.
I don't know. High Velocity Bowling just doesn't sound like a game that... Yeah, it still doesn't sound like a game that's like, you know, his thing.
And it's fun?
Yeah, it's fun. Having fun with it, and I bowl actually, so that's what fits in what I play.
You gotta come roll with us sometime.
We bowled just like last weekend.
Mm-hmm. We don't do it very often, but
no, I still get my gear in the car.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool.
What's your average?
Fuck, I don't know.
We used to be all right. We used to actually be
because we used to do it very regularly.
We used to do it like once a week.
That's why I bought.
Now we do it like twice a year, just because we can't ever get down with anybody. But no, I just do it because I can. It's something to do while I drink.
That's an excuse for a lot of things. Yeah, right.
What I like about it though is that it's an older game. Like I said, it came out in 2007, but there's still a lot of people playing it online. I mean, my first time on there was like 40 people. 40
shit, people man! I'll pick. What's the price? Is it $5?
Ten.
$10.
$10. Yeah.
I don't know. You're on it. I'll pick that up. Mm-hmm. Play with it.
Yeah. And that's pretty much all I played. Those two, pretty much.
Yeah, I finished up. God, I had a Bourne weekend. Mm-hmm. Watched all three movies: Bourne Identity, Bourne Supremacy, Bourne the Jason Bourne films and stuff. Yeah. I watched all those movies, and I went back and I finished the game that I had. I looked at my achievement list. You could tell the progress of how I played this through my achievement list. I started in June of 2008.
Yeah, so you've been doing that for a while.
It went.
He hasn't been doing it for a while.
Yeah. He started.
I think that's more to the point.
Yeah, it was just I'd play a couple of levels and then I'd stop and something else would take my attention and I wouldn't get back to it for like another 6 months. So I started. I had an achievement from had a couple achievements from June 08, a couple achievements from September of 08, a couple achievements from February of 09, and then some from September of 09 and then December. I wrapped it up.
Well, that's how it goes, man. You got a lot of stuff on your plate, so
not really. Not now. That's a game I could have finished. That's a game you could finish in pretty much one sitting. But for whatever reason, I just took it in these chunks and didn't bother to keep going.
I couldn't get through it. I tried.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I mean, I really enjoy that combat. I fucking hate the gunplay, but I loved the combat.
It was I don't know, man. Like, I liked what they were doing with the combat. I didn't like the fact that I had to sit there and wallop on some of these motherfuckers for like 10 fucking minutes before they would go down.
Yeah,
there was too much of that.
Oh, you should have. That last boss was fucking... Oh, God. That was like... That was about a 30 or 45 minute
fight. Yeah, that's
fight.
Not... I don't really... Maybe once or twice throughout the course of the game. But I think the majority of the combat in that game should have been structured very much the same, with the same types of moves. Something that was almost explicitly quick time event. I don't mind that. It was kind of fun. But just faster and a little more brutal. Like, average, like, fucking Bob Marine, like, should not be, like, a 3 to 5 minute fight. I just didn't end like that, you know? Where you have to, like, continuously, like, just pound the shit out of them, beat them up, and then, like, slam their head into a, you know, whatever, lamppost, and then, like, you know, kick them in the balls, and then throw them through a window. I mean, just whatever the hell you're doing.
There's nothing easy in there. So everybody's not even the grunts are easy to get.
I mean, some of them kind of were. I just think it would have been a little more fun if there was more of what we saw from Bourne in the movies, which is like most of the guys he beats up are guys that aren't a match for him. You know, just like any pawn or low level enemy in any action game. Yeah, so it would have been a little more fun. It just wasn't a thing for me. I didn't care for it at all. Really wanted to, but whatever. Fuck it. Lost in a sea of better shit. Yeah. Quite frankly,
I got it. You can borrow it. Well, no, it's a 360. Never mind. It's been 2 weeks. I don't know. Maybe you. No.
No.
Okay. And what else did I play? Shit. I guess I should have kept more up to date on that.
What have you played?
And Bayonetta and Darksiders this week.
Did you play any Darksiders?
Played a little bit of Darksiders last night. Yeah, I got home. We got home. We came here and tested all this shit out yesterday, and then I got home around 8:30, and it was like, oh, the Microsoft CES. I want to watch that, and so I watched that for whatever reason. I always regret watching it afterwards, but I still did watch it every year for whatever reason. But so yeah, I played about an hour and a half or so of Darksiders. Not too much.
I played about two.
Yeah.
So we're probably playing. Yeah, I guess maybe.
You're probably further along than I am because I'm
probably
not
slow. Much.
I want to put some more time into Darksiders and Bayonetta. We'll get to that in a bit, I suppose.
I know you're behind.
Yeah, just a little bit.
What have you been doing?
I've been playing catch up, actually. Doing.
I feel real bad because you showed up and you're like, "Yeah, I've been playing this," and we're all like, "Yeah, yeah, whatever." We talked about that. And you're like, "Well, you know, I'm kind of going through this other thing," and you're like, "Yeah, yeah, whatever. We're done. We don't really care about that shit anymore."
I got a lot of the Steam deals, you know.
Like
the id collection with, you know, all the old classic Doom and Quake and stuff like that. Picked up Borderlands on the PC, and I've been playing through that on single player. enjoying that one. Playing as a
hey, I know some of our some of our listeners will appreciate this. So you got all this Steam stuff, right?
Yeah.
Did you buy Torchlight?
Not yet.
You buy Torchlight, did you?
No, not yet.
How did you not buy Torchlight? How did you not buy fucking Torchlight at five motherfucking dollars?
Yeah, when did you get back in? When did you get back in the States?
Christmas Day.
That's right. That's right. Okay.
It had already been $5 at least once. It had been 10 at least once by that point.
My connection, my internet connection when I was there was crappy at best.
It was 5 cents then, I think, though.
No, the whole Steam sale's been going on since Christmas Eve. It went from Christmas Eve to January 3rd.
To January 3rd.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Well, here's the deal. Here's the deal. $20, it's a full-on great deal.
Yeah.
$10 is like stupidly good deal.
Yeah.
$5, somebody's high. A game is fucking,
I'm going to pick it up.
It's good shit. It's really, really good shit.
Particularly, you're going to pick it up and you're going to pay full price for it now.
Probably.
Which isn't a bad thing.
I paid more for crappier games, that's for sure.
Shameful.
Picked up Assassin's Creed 2. I'm playing a little bit of that one, enjoying that.
Okay.
You finished the first one, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Now, have you listened to that episode we did?
Ask.
No.
You haven't listened to that episode we did? Okay, good. I'm glad you did.
Because we did the thing like that.
You said heavy spoilers and I cut it off.
Okay. Yeah, it was
good job. Glad you did.
It was funny, Ramsey and I, because you haven't been in the States since I've been working here. So, Ramsey and I's whole thing is, one of the best things is that all day we can talk back and forth about whatever was interesting, assuming we're not busy. And right around the time of Assassin's Creed 2, man, you remember how it used to be way back in the day at the shop?
Yeah.
We were talking about Resident Evil. We're trying to reconcile all this fucking crazy shit going on. It was that's the first time we've been that way since that time.
Okay.
I fucking brought in an issue of Smithsonian Magazine when we were talking about that shit because it happened to be referencing the it was an article about the maps of exactly that period of time.
Okay.
Like the last couple of decades and the first of the 15th century and the first one of the 16th. So we were up that shit's ass, dude. We were all over it. Good stuff.
I haven't made it to Venice yet, but just running through the tops of Florence, I know I've found some of the places I actually recognize, because I've been to Florence. And some of the squares and everything, I'm like, hey, there's, right here is where they have a mock-up of Michelangelo's David, and here, the Duomo and all those other things.
Venice was the most, I've been to Florence and to Venice. And Venice was far more the recognizable thing, in my opinion, simply because it's, I don't think it has structurally changed quite as much over time as Florence has.
Plus some landmarks like the Rialto Bridge and I'm sure some of the other major things.
Well, the Rialto doesn't really look like what it did then. I think it's changed significantly. It's more like some of the larger landmarks. But whatever. It's all fucking great shit. Finish it up, if you want to talk to us about it while you're playing it, that'd be awesome because we all had a lot of really strong opinions about it. Going both ways, to be quite honest. And I think I'll actually get back into it because I fucking missed. Here's the thing. Go to Venice. I know it'll be fixed later, most likely. Go to Venice. You go fly on that fucking flying machine. You kick that motherfucker in the head when he tells you to. You do that. Don't think you're going to be able to do it later because it's the only 5 points in the game you can't come back to.
Really?
The only 5 gamer score points that you can't come back to. 5 of them little bitches. And they're the only ones you can't come back to. So,
is that the
I'm
only
just
one
saying.
You're missing?
Yeah. I was going to 1,000 point it. Because I kind
of,
I didn't
because none of the achievements are ridiculous things.
They're all kind of pretty good, And I really wanted to do that. And then once I realized I missed that 5 points, I was like, oh, fuck this. I'm not going to $9.95 a game. I'm not doing that. So, but supposedly, well, not even supposedly, the flying machine's coming back in the DLC.
Okay.
So I'd be astonished if that didn't give you a second cut at the achievement. So, I don't know. I'll get back into it at that point.
So I also picked up Little Big Planet. Haven't done much with that, but, that's more of a back burner kind of just to have.
Right.
Modern Warfare 2.
Man, you're such a fucking asshole. You pay money for that game? You give the motherfuckers your money?
I did.
Did you? Man, what the?
What'd you get? What platform did you give?
360.
Okay. I didn't know if you picked it up on PC.
No.
No, it was overpriced, man. All that other shit aside, it was overpriced on the PC.
Let's see what else I get. Uncharted 2. I haven't done it yet, but that's on my list of things to play. While I was gone,
I just want to emphasize, he picked up Modern Warfare 2 over Uncharted 2.
Yeah.
No, I picked up... I have them both.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, then you played one before the other.
I played the opening levels of Modern Warfare 2 and kind of put it down.
I'm trying to make you look bad. You're making me look
You don't have to try that hard with that.
It's not all that good. You should play through it. But yeah. I mean, and not even just because we had a hate on for it. It's just, man, what is good? That's all there's there. It's what is good game.
Yeah. While I was gone, I finally played through and beat Freelancer. I'd never beaten it.
Wow. Yeah. You never beat Freelancer?
No.
You know, I've never beaten Freelancer.
Really?
Yeah. I always first, and it's not because I like stop having fun or anything. I just get to a certain point and it's like, all right, now you got to go do like side stuff again. I'm like, all right, I'll do that after I, you know, watch some TV or something.
Exactly.
And then I just never
come back.
Go back to it. So like, one of these days I will.
I don't even have a very strong memory of it. It's been so long since I beat it.
It was fun.
All my memories are not associated with the story. I have very vague, misty remembrances of the story.
Well, some of the best times we had playing that were on the we set it up in our cellar on Box, acting as a server.
Yeah, man, when we had like a pocket MMO basically running.
Uh-huh.
That was really awesome.
Like four was
running down to where we could mine diamonds and then trying to make it all the way back to the
getting like 20 squads of pirates coming after us.
Yeah, it was good. It was good shit, man. It was really good shit. It was a fun game.
Played some more of a Tron 2 because I've already beaten it, you know, way back when it first came out. But it was a chance to, you know, sort of catch up on some of the older games I had in my library that I brought with me. Mm. So that was fun. You know, I redid the Tales of Monkey. I mean, I did all the 5 episodes of Tales of Monkey Island
for the millionth time.
No, it just came out, so. But it was a lot of fun, and the Secret of Monkey Island Special Edition, I played through that and just, you know, had a blast with that. Now I'm just hoping they'll do a Monkey Island 2 with the Special Edition.
Yeah.
That would be nice. But yeah, other than that, you know, just been, you know, playing some catch-up. Can't wait to play some Batman.
Yeah, you'll like Batman. You're behind the ball a little bit. You need to, like, fucking, like, bite into something and fucking get done with it. And, like, move on. Otherwise, you'll have trouble catching up because not sure you noticed. But there's, like, a metric fucking shit ton of stuff coming out.
Yeah.
And you really don't have the time to, like... Because I know there's, all like, a lot of that stuff you're going to want to play. And you do not have time to, like, not have traction. So, I highly recommend... I need to get you your Batman. I highly recommend, like, blowing up Assassin's Creed. And then,
that'll be the next
maybe
one.
Maybe doing Batman. It's a pretty quick play, because, I mean, whatever. You can, you know, you can let, like, Darksiders and Bayonetta slide, but by the 26th.
Oh, yeah. I'm all going to be hours.
February's...
What are you currently invested in right now? Like, what is the game that you are...
Borderlands.
Borderlands.
Yeah, you need to get that.
Yeah, jumped into Assassin's Creed.
Borderlands ain't going to do you any favors right now, you know, as far as, like, getting shit done, so... You need to move on to the next thing.
Yeah. God, I picked up Steamhead that we were talking about that sale. I picked up so much shit.
Yeah, I saw.
I picked up 38 games.
I saw the list of, you know, things that you got. Oh, I got that Sniper Elite also for like $2.
Yeah, and I gifted one to James there just because I was like, I've never gifted before. Let's see how this works. And James was a benefactor of such a thing.
You read something about how much you saved overall. It was like, what?
The total I spent was $111.10 for 38 games. The total I would have spent outside of this wholesale, $477.67.
Yeah. See what else?
Nice.
Far Cry 2, got that. Mirror's
Edge.
Yeah,
I picked that up.
And was the Mirror's
Edge? I kept thinking I wanted to pick up Mirror's Edge, man, and I kept balking, even at $5. I was like, I mean, I don't know, man, I ain't necessarily gonna play it again. And I got kind of a problem with some of the stuff on Steam anyway. It's cool. This isn't a Steam thing. It's mostly like a, and if I'm picking something up for like anything under $10, I don't care. But like I could just load it up on a different box, say, and where it would play better. But a lot of that older shit is not formatted well for widescreen monitors or modern resolutions.
Yeah.
It flakes out some things kind of flake out on modern video cards, you know, just because they're not designed for any modern hardware. This is all shit coming from a previous generation of, you know, display formatting and all this other stuff. So it's like I picked up, you know, nice little Republic for like a couple dollars on some deep sale. I tried to play it. I was like,
the control scheme for the PC is terrible anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's horrible, but it was only a couple dollars.
Yeah.
And I was like, this looks like shit. Like, it doesn't even understand widescreen resolutions and stuff. That kind of thing really gets under my skin. I don't like it. So I don't jump in as often as I suppose I could, just because it's like, well, this is only $5, but it's $5 for something I'm really probably not going to spend any time with. So, yeah.
I'm seriously thinking about putting some money down for the Alien vs. Predator Special Edition.
Man, you can fuck off with that. You ever bring that thing within 10 feet of me, I will punch you in your noggin.
You make it sound like I once tied a facehugger toy to a stick and dangled it above your head.
Yeah. Was it a facehugger toy?
Yeah, it was a facehugger.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, because it was like this.
Didn't you do that to Chet while he was playing System Shock? Like right when you walk into the room with all the little spiders that come out?
Yeah.
I remember jump. That.
Huh?
How did you jump?
Scream like a girl.
there's nothing wrong with that. It was System Shock, too.
Yeah. I had a broomstick and I put it to a string and dangling it over his head.
Because the rule was that you had to play that with the lights out.
Yeah, headphones.
And headphones on.
Yes.
You were not allowed to play that. Because everybody played that back when we had all set up in like an old house we all used to hang at. And that was a rule. Lights had to be off. You had to play with your headphones. Like, us, your pussy.
So it's totally immersive.
And more than a few people were like, fuck that, I'm a pussy.
They'll just take the title and be like, no problem.
That's how the setup was with the original Alien vs. Predator over at, you know, the house. And
That's
sometimes
fun, man. It's really
fun. And that facehugger just jumps out of nowhere and like attaches to the screen. It'll startle you pretty good. So I'm looking forward to this new one.
I'm hoping, you know. It was just kind of really far below the radar for so long. I mean, it was there.
Yeah.
But it was just, it was sort of running along at a really cool level, and then all of a sudden became something to care about. So I hope.
Well, it's the same team that did the first.
Yeah, no, I know it is, but. So I mean, the first one was fun, but it wasn't great. It was fun, really great multiplayer.
Yeah.
The campaigns weren't all that interesting, in my opinion.
When you get someone, like three different, you know, a couple of different people in different races running around.
Yeah, so I'm really interested in it. Which platform?
Probably 360.
Yeah.
Either PS3.
Again, I'm probably going to roll 360 just because of...
Yeah.
It's Sega. I mean...
Oh, yeah, that's not a bad point. I think that's maybe a little pessimistic, but maybe guarded, I guess. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, to that point, you know... Well, I want to hit what you played first before I do that, but I want to cross over to RJ after that point. Jeremy.
Oh, what I've played?
You're up, man.
Let's see. Me and the wife played some more Mario. We're nearly done with it. We just played some Bayonetta there before we came in here because I got it from Gamefly today. And I haven't had a chance to play in the Darksiders yet. I'm going to play that this weekend. So, yeah, not a whole lot right now.
It's kind of funny, man. We noticed that, like... the conflict between heaven and hell is very much in style right now.
Yeah. Darksiders.
Darksiders and Bayonetta are both like all about it. They're the same thing.
Dante's Inferno.
And Dante's Inferno is next one. So,
you know, angels are going to be the new vampires.
Legion comes out this month. That film about.
Oh, yeah, right.
And I mean.
Damn.
January's the month of heaven and hell.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like the whole first quarter. I mean, even God of War, technically. I mean, they're. It's a Greek take. I mean, just because it's Greek doesn't mean it's not. Well,
gods and titans, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically the struggle
between a divine essence.
Yeah, exactly.
And just to think, Nick Cage's movie Knowing was sort of paving the way for all this.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Fuck Nick Cage.
No.
Fuck that man. Till he starts
can't wait to see
age.
Him in Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Man, oh shit, dude! Holy shit!
Did you see that side Nick Cage is everyone?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That was funny.
The House one was exceptionally well done.
They were pretty good. Don't say they weren't good.
See, we don't really have a lot to say on Darksiders or kind of Bayonetta.
We haven't put much time. Yeah, whatever. Like, that's never stopped me.
No, that's right, totally.
I picked up Darksiders first because I wanted to play it more. I know what Bayonetta is. I can look at it and be like, it's, you know, I get it. It's Devil May Cry, and that's fine. And that's not my thing exactly. But I'm far more interested in it since Jeremy and I hooked it up here today and spent a couple hours with it. That is one weird piece of fucking cheese, dude. That game is the strangest goddamn game. I mean, really, you strip away all that shit, you know you're just doing Devil May Cry, which was already, like, kind of weird. You know, and I was like, hey, Devil May Cry, that's strange shit. And this shit makes Devil May Cry, in my opinion, look mundane and very gray and kind of flaccid in comparison. This shit is just monkey-fucked, crazy-ass. It doesn't give a fuck. Like, this game doesn't give a fuck. It is weird. And it isn't even just weird for weird's sake. It's like, because that kind of thing pisses me off. You know, I don't like that.
Yeah.
But there's some quality in Bayonetta that it's like, you know what Bayonetta is? Bayonetta is fabulous. That's what it is. Bayonetta is gay bar fabulous. Seriously, if the drag queen community was, like, tapped in the least to the video game world, that shit would be at every fucking gay bar in every fucking town. Everywhere. Which, by the way, is really awesome. I mean, that's really awesome shit. You know, it's like you're missing a whole... You're unexposed to an entire vector of input by not really understanding the video game thing. Like, I have some drag queen bayonets all over the place, man. Because it's just that kind of thing. It is literally unashamed. It is absolutely unashamed of itself. And everything it does, you're like, God, it's fucking weird. But they're not even trying to shock me or freak me out. It's just weird because it's weird. I'm like, all right, man, whatever. It's kind of funny.
Just kind of.
You know, the combo system is pretty good, which is something that I know that's your... Being able to live down in a combo system is a big deal.
There's a lot of combos you could do in that game. Especially a lot of them opens up when you buy new skills from the skill store, Gates of Hell.
Yeah.
You know, after I bought... there was one skill called Afterburner Kick. It's basically a dash and kick forward, you know. I was able to do... a backhand launcher that leads up to an afterburner kick, and then double jump out of that to another afterburner kick, lock onto him after I pass him, zigzag back and forth on the way down, hit the ground before the enemy, and then go into a three-hit combo that puts him away.
Yeah,
this is why I don't play Street Fighter with him.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. RJ can live, RJ can absolutely live in that. And then something has to be said for a game that can keep him happy.
Yeah.
Somebody who, you know, mainlines, like, stringing combos. And then a guy like me just doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, because there's still so much I haven't tapped yet, because there's still so many skills I haven't bought yet. So I'm trying to see how to implement those.
And you're playing it on the hardest difficulty, correct?
The hardest I can right now is at normal. But
okay, yeah, to unlock
the harder. I've been told that stuff opens up when you beat it on normal. Okay. You get a hard mode.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't know if... I guess that's... I didn't even notice that was locked out.
Yeah, I mean, I was told that's how it was. Yeah.
What was the name for the hardest mode in that game? I know it was one Matt would appreciate.
New York Minute.
No.
Devil May Cry?
No, Bayonetta.
That's something to do with Climax.
Yeah, which is why I knew Matt would like it. Matt always wanted to name the video game store Climax games.
I don't know, I'll say that because...
Always had to say no.
In Devil May Cry, it's Dante Must Die mode. I remember that.
Yeah, there's
so it's probably something along those lines.
Nonstop Climax, that's the name of the hardest one.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I don't know. It's both childishly sexual and also, like, kind of shamelessly adult in other ways. It's not all, like, juvenile jokes. It's more... It's very hard to put my finger on exactly what the hell they got going on there. But, I mean, it's at the very least interesting as hell to look at.
And it's Japanese as all fuck.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
I've been surprised by how much I've enjoyed it, because I did not like Devil May Cry 4, I guess, the last one I played.
You didn't like the fucking demo.
Well, the demo was... I didn't like the first stage of the demo, but by the second stage, I had said that I was... the combat was sort of coming to me.
What was the what was the demo?
First Climax.
Where was that?
That was the Fallen Clock.
Okay.
Except you weren't paired with...
That wouldn't be a very good place for a demo.
Yeah.
It wasn't very good.
That was the first stage. The second stage...
That was just some shit to do while they narrated the intro.
Yeah, the second stage was the train station.
Mm-hmm.
The train station, really?
Yeah, in the demo.
Yeah.
Okay. Not the graveyard?
Mm-hmm. Graveyard did not... Was not
Jeremy likes the graveyard a lot.
I like the graveyard.
He wants a level where you just play the graveyard and listen to that Japanese cover of... of that little fucking lounge song was that?
Fly Me to the
Fly
Moon.
Fly Me to the Moon.
Oh, my God. They couldn't have picked less appropriate music to fight to.
Yeah.
Every
if they
time
tried,
the music,
maybe that was the point.
Yeah, when that showed up, we were like, oh, this is absolutely the worst possible choice for this. And then as it went on and we had a better understanding of the game, we're like, this is the best possible
choice. Yeah, they know what they were doing.
He also beat so well.
I mean, like, I'll say, though, that, like, the, particularly the way the characters act visually is extremely Japanese, very Japanese anime. So, like, when they open their mouths and the, like, kind of hard American voice acting comes out, it just doesn't match up at all, which really adds to the surrealness of the whole thing. Because I expect them to be like, blah, 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 rah! You know, like... But they sound just like normal people with, you know, some really fucking weird dialogue. So, God, I don't know.
Do you have any idea where you are in terms of percent complete?
For your first playthrough? I think it's 13 or 14 stages. I'm at stage 5 right now.
It's because the achievements or the trophies are split like that. You don't get a trophy for beating chapter 1. You get a trophy for beating chapters 1 through 4.
1 through 4. So you get
is it 4? Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
And then that's 5 what, through...
Yeah, you found whatever for the next one. Tier of Blood. That's one. That's another trophy. I'm trying to remember some other trophies offhand. The first time I did a Wicked Weave attack, where her hair comes into play, that was a trophy. Yeah. That was another one like that. I haven't looked at the list yet.
Yeah, well, it's just as far as how many stages
marking
there were.
The story, marking your progression.
Mm-hmm.
So you're at 5?
I'm stage 5 right now, and I think it's 13 or 14 stages.
Yeah. You are able to confirm, though, that that it kind of runs shitty on the PS3.
Oh, yeah.
You're not entirely happy with it on the PS3.
Yeah, the...
Which we knew, of course, that was the state of affairs for the Japanese release, but there were a lot of people that were, for whatever reason, wanting to believe that it was had been fixed or at least addressed in some significant way before its release in America.
I think that was based on the demo, really, because the demo ran really, really smooth.
Really?
Especially compared to the full version.
Hmm. Well, but it was, as you said...
Yeah, there was something else that got me...
Running off the hard drive entirely.
Yeah, because
which
the demo runs
be,
off the
which
hard
drive. Could be a huge difference.
Yeah, the demo runs off the hard drive completely, and there was very little, if any, graphical hiccups. I think the only hiccup I saw was when she summoned the big giant
hair monster.
Yeah, that was the only hiccup, but everything else was running pretty smooth. And for the life of me, I was looking all over the option screen for the option to install game data to the hard drive, and it wasn't there.
Hmm.
So hey, you're going to be running straight off the disk. Now, if somebody knows something different than that, you know, let me know. But I couldn't find it, and I just couldn't see why they didn't have that option available, because I saw it on so many other games.
That's strange.
Yeah. Now they say there's a patch coming.
Right.
But they say a lot. Maybe they're just hoping for a patch, but I don't expect one. But if they do have one, hey, I'll be happy. But if they don't,
I'm hearing the same thing about Darkspiders, that there's a patch
for the 360,
because they're having.
It's kind of a reverse. The 360 is having performance issues on Darksiders.
Mm.
A lot of bad tearing.
I noticed the tearing. I didn't notice any slowdowns, but I noticed that tearing stuck out like a fucking sword.
In fact, that, if you want an example, they were all saying something about the loading times, how bad they were.
Yeah.
Jeremy, while I was watching you play, I noticed you every time you picked up an item, it showed an image of the item and what it did, right? And you just canceled it.
Maybe. Yeah, it did.
Yeah, it did, like that, right? Okay.
Yeah, like I said, I was canceling it. I was
just... Yeah, you just canceled it. Now, here's the thing, though. On the PS3 version, if I picked up an item the same way you did, there's a brief little circle that says load.
Fuck! Well, you know, in the game trailer's review, they said, PS3 has problems.
They actually showed a screen where it was like...
He paused the game, but it loaded for six seconds.
You have to load the pause screen. You have to load the item management screen. And you know that, and that, and you know, and for a game that has to have a lot of flow in the action, that just cuts.
Nothing. Yeah, that sounds like
that just really cuts into the flow. I mean, it's supposed to be
that'd make me get a 360.
Keep moving.
Sounds like old, but Legacy of Kain load times.
Yeah, I mean, and
God.
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, even your save, even when you hit a pull up the save screen. Even sets up a loading icon there as well.
That's a shame.
I mean, the 360 version, it's like they said, man. They were spot on with what they said. It's just not. There's no comparison.
Yeah.
If you have both systems, get it on the 360.
And Darksiders seems to be the inverse. I mean, it may come down to controller preference and stuff like that. But we played for like two and a half hours total, maybe a little more between me and Jeremy, and it was like butter smooth, you know. Really good. And I thought, in my opinion, the controls were fine and snappy and everything. I mean, no, the system we were playing it on, or rather the display, was not optimal.
Right.
Yeah.
About that, though, like, and going back, tapping in some of the weirdness of it, this was a particular type of weirdness that was enhanced playing on a projector. Like, the little still shots of them when they're talking, but they're not moving.
Yeah.
But the rain's still going and the wind's blowing their clothes, but otherwise it's still shot, which is weird in and of itself.
The hair moving, stuff like
that. And it's supposed to be like there's this projector film kind of thing, and then like it does this flicker like a projector. Well, I kept like looking over at my projector.
Because we were playing it on a projector.
I know projectors flicker, but there's no reason for this one to flicker. That's weird. Is it flickering? And then I realize it was the game doing a projector flicker effect.
That was intentional. Like the music selection. Yeah.
Psyched me out just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I should have it today at the house. I will. I can tell you right now that neither it nor Darksiders will. I can't see myself completing either one of them. I just don't. I don't think that I care that much.
Mm-hmm.
Darksiders was one of those games for me that I put in and. I was having a lot of fun with it. I really was, to an extent. But I was already kind of looking for a way out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, man, I sure hope this game does something that I can't stand in the next little bit so that I can feel a little better about abandoning it, because it's just not... Maybe I'm not in the mood for something that reminds me of Zelda or Soul Reaver. I think I may be more in the mood for something like Bayonetta, which is absolutely... the strictest possible path that they can lay out in front of me, whereas Darksiders is a little more open.
So I'm feeling the same way. Here I have two games.
It's a mood thing. It's not a like or a dislike. It's just sometimes I don't want to fucking do that.
I have this determination for whatever reason to continue on with Bayonetta now before I get any further in Darksiders. And I'm not exactly sure why that is. I think maybe it's just because of the fucking outlandishness of what's going on in Bayonetta, and I just want to see really how far they go with it.
I mean, it's...
I don't know.
I think it's a really pretty game. I think it's outlandish and it's great, but the gameplay is tight. It's just this side of out of control almost all the time, which is a great place to be. But for me, I would bring it down to the fact that it is exceptionally linear, and sometimes that's all I want. Sometimes that's what I most want from a game, is take me down the path. If the path kicks ass, if the path is extraordinarily interesting, like...
He's played the path.
Which, by the way, is not even remotely.
Half-Life. I mean,
even to that extent. It's totally wrong, and it probably doesn't even belong here. But I don't know if anybody has seen the maps seen the first however many minutes or how many hours, like, YouTubed any information about Final Fantasy 13, or if you care. I mean, I don't know if anybody cares.
I have not.
But, like, one of the things, this is so ridiculous.
It, but no.
If you look at, not so much the videos, but if you look at some of the maps, there were maps of, like, the first however much of the game posted online. They're no bullshit. Straight fucking lines.
Yeah.
Like, the dungeons are just these narrow-ass, guided, straight fucking lines. Maybe it opens up later, and I can't remember exactly how long a period of time the number of maps I viewed represented. But it was just this long, like, you know, it's like you were doing, you know, it's like fucking Beggar's Canyon or something, you know?
Sounds a lot like how 10 was.
Yeah, which at the time I couldn't fucking stand.
Yeah.
I couldn't fucking stand it. But now, and I don't know what this is. I don't know if this is an age thing or a temperament thing or a... I have a lot of shit to play, so I don't want to have to worry about turning left or right. I mean, I don't know what it is, whether I'm being lazy. I don't fucking know. Because, like, where my Mass Effect is concerned, I'm very much interested in the options that are going to be available to me there. But there's something about 13... specifically the design of its dungeons, its specific layout, that seems very refreshing to me. It's like, I'm just not in the mood to make a lot of crazy decisions and to do any globetrotting right now. If that's what 13 was, I don't think I would really give it a second look, but I'm like, wow, you mean it's linear as all hell? Somehow that appeals to me right now, you know? Because it looks fun and beautiful. And I don't mind saying again and again and again, ever since buying, like, a really, really nice TV, I will fucking put shit on that TV just because of how it looks. Like,
it's like when you get a new
looks count
card.
For a hell of a lot more, yeah.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, very much the same thing, so. But that's just the thing. And at the moment, I have one game that's a little more open, involves a little more choice, and then another one that doesn't. And if I'm set to choose between the two, I'll probably choose the one that, whatever, I really would rather like Darksiders more. It's sort of junior high in the way that its story is put together. It's not even as eloquent. I mean, it feels a lot like Soul Reaver to me. A lot of people were referencing Zelda, but to me it feels kind of Soul Reaver.
The only way the Soul Reaver thing, the Soul Reaver vibe that I'm getting from it is in the voices. All the many different voices and different... you know,
what, that it has voices?
No, just how well it's done. It's not like, hey, you go in there and you need to, you know, say
that
these
you're killed
lines.
For transgressions that weren't your fault, and you're banished to another region.
There's that too, isn't there?
An infinite amount of time, and you wake up in front of an elder god who sends you back on a mission of retribution.
Yeah, there is that, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally overlooked that. But I would hear these voices, and I'm thinking, wow, that's really well done. Obviously, Hamill's in there, and then they've got... I don't know who else they've got doing Mark Hamill.
Yeah, I just got to say real quick...
Man, that's a fucking Joker.
No, totally.
That motherfucker is 95% Joker.
And I don't feel bad about that.
It's cool. It works. I'm just like, man.
Thanks for waiting until I was 6,000 miles away before you get him on an interview.
Like, hey, here's the thing. He said you wouldn't have got a word in edgewise, my friend.
I wouldn't do it.
I was going to say, you've listened to that? Yeah, you wouldn't have gotten a word in.
You didn't have anything to say.
I'm just glad I've met him once before, so, you know, it's not a total loss.
Such a fucking nerd.
He was an interesting... It was a good interview.
Says the person, you know, doing the gaming podcast.
Yeah, whatever. Haven't you learned this is what we do? We shit on one another so that we feel better about the fact that we're neck deep in video games. Yeah, so I don't know. Hey, here's another thing. This is my personal preference about the game. Darksiders is not, from a lot of the early artwork, you would have expected an unbelievably dense, like, very, very saturated palette, but also extremely dark. Like, everything pushed into the browns and the blacks and everything like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very much like Gears of War or something like that. And it isn't, as a matter of fact. It's actually a very
colorful.
Surprisingly colorful and crisp game. I mean, you're still kind of moving through a wasteland, so the palette obviously cannot be too broad. But it's there's something actually very... the use of color reminds me of kind of how things were layered in Infamous, you know? Sort of like a ruined world, but a lot of like very rich and energetic colors. And
your main character himself is very...
He's very colorful. Yeah. Very comic book colorful, which is great, and there are good reasons for that. Mm-hmm. Here's my issue, though. Of all the games in the world that really should be just dripping, not only in sort of angst and ruin, but also the art that reflects those things, in the Gears of War, blacks and browns and just dense, muddy colors, I think this world would be better served by that, personally. There's something about the cheery palette, you know, it's not cheery, but there's something about it that I don't like. I really actually wish that it was a muddier, uglier, denser thing, because I think that's what the game wants to be.
And I still don't like starting out with all with like full kilt powers. And
then this is, we can get over this shit, man.
I know.
Not you. I'm saying like we need to stop doing this. There are at least throughout the course of the game, there's like three or four cardinal sins being broken here. Three or four things that you should never do. First of which is start you with your full powers,
And let you experience them fully,
and then take them away from you.
Take them away.
Yeah.
Which is not great. Felt actually, you know what the first like 30, 40 minutes felt like? Felt like fucking Prototype.
I was about to say Prototype, right? Yeah.
Felt a lot like Prototype, which I did not like. And that flavor was in my mouth instantly. And
yeah, because I remember reading back then, they said they actually added that in because a lot of the playtesters said didn't want to bother the game. They were like, you know, I can fly around, but that's it. So they wanted to like have those powers on display at the beginning to show you this is what you become.
Yeah, but that's a problem. That means that your pacing and your delivery of upgrades and your explanation of the growth of your character, that everything that's supposed to happen in context is fail. That's what it means. Because other games do it just damn fine. You know? From that very specific time, I reference Infamous, which I still think has one of the greatest curvatures in terms of growth of your player, or more specifically, Soul Reaver was an excellent way of doing that. You start out with jack shit. You start with fun cutscene. You start out with motherfucking wings.
They get ripped off.
Yeah, like so. You started out with a jawbone. You know.
No, we played that again. That's something else we did that I forgot.
Yeah, playing around with that on the PSP.
Yeah. I pulled the PSP out over the holidays. Downloaded. First, I downloaded the firmware update that it needed because I haven't played it in probably 2 years.
Wow. I got FF7 on my PSP.
Did you?
Yeah,
you
see?
Like it okay?
What?
You like it okay?
Yeah.
Is that shit play?
Is it in a
full screen or is it like in a little. Yeah. Really? Yeah, see, because Soul Reaver. Yeah. Soul Reaver was in like a little fun box, man.
I'm pretty sure it was full screen. I mean, it plays fine.
Well, yeah, this play, which oddly enough, because it only had the one. It was like, because we're the analog inputs didn't have thumbsticks.
Yeah.
You know, because the PSP doesn't. And I was like, well, how do you move the camera around? I'm pretty sure you can do that. And obviously, the little nub takes care of that. But I put that on.
It played just fine originally on the Dreamcast without two analog sticks. Dreamcast had one.
Yeah, did. In fact, that's where I first played it, was on the Dreamcast.
Wow. Anybody who's anybody first played it on the Dreamcast.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway, I guess I don't remember it. But, I put that on there. That was like $5 or $6. I just wanted to try it. And when I saw that it was in the little box thing, I was like, well, I don't think I'll pick up any of the others. So I'm not sure, but you said it played full. Maybe I'll pick up Final Fantasy VII. What was the other thing we did? Demo of Peace Walker? Is that what that is?
Dude, for like 90 seconds.
It didn't matter. I just loved that whole dude screaming at you, telling you, now go do this!
Yeah.
Press the A button! Or right. Whatever, fuck. God, press the X button!
That shit pissed me off, dude. I was like, is he honestly trying to pimp this shit to me? Like, it's gonna be like some bad... Man, fuck you. This is some... No, fuck, I couldn't deal with that. I was like, this is at all representative of a real game, and I can't get within 100 yards of this game.
I put the comic book reader on there, too.
Which is nice.
The digital comic book reader, which was very nice. And I gotta figure out a way to put all my comics on there.
Can you import comics, or is it just you have to buy them from...
You have to buy them from the store, but I'm waiting for somebody out there who can make me a little program that'll convert all my shit to what the PSP can read and put it on there. But yeah, I downloaded the free Transformers comic that they had and let it go through its whole deal there. It was a really nice experience. I wasn't sure how that was going to pan out because I'm so used to reading just comics here on my 15-inch screen or whatever. And you know, I was wondering how that was going to translate into that little bitty thing on the PSP, but God, it does it very well. Very, very well. So, but yeah, did that. And that's pretty much it. So,
yeah, I really do want to play some more. I really want to, like, hey, big fun sword, you know? I think it's a horse.
Yeah, I hear it's a pretty long game, and I know you've only put in like 2 hours.
Yeah,
I
have 2 hours.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of one of those things. It's like, I've heard where it's like, oh, no, you got to play it for a while, and then it really, you know.
Yeah, but.
Like, really, how?
I tell you what, why don't we put the good parts of the game at the beginning? So that I can get to them right away.
But not the good parts and then take those parts away from them. You know, don't do that shit.
Yeah.
It's not bad. I don't want to shit on it at all. It's a good game. It's not a great game. I don't think it looks all that great. A lot of people were talking about how good it looks. I got it on the PS3.
You're on the PS3,
which is supposedly better. It's Aliased All to Hell and Back. It plays really fucking smooth, you know, and I like it. And it's a lot more of a button masher than Bayonetta is. I mean, it's got its own combos and everything. Built through it, but it's fun button masher, so I don't know. And it's got its like upgrade paths and everything, which I just don't care right now, you know, like I just don't care.
One of the things I liked about games that don't, you know, give you all the powers and take away, like, you know, Metroid, stuff like that. I like discovering the new powers that you didn't know about and, like, having the choice, you know.
Yeah.
Something pops up and you're like, oh, my God, I can do that now? I didn't know.
If you know from the get-go.
Then
the minute I turned into big, massive Super Pac-Man or whatever. I was like, that would have been better for me to discover rather than know I'm going to get to it.
Yeah.
Because at any time I'm going to have difficulty, I'll be like, God damn it, why can't I turn into fucking Balrog right now? And
well, like...
go through this
to shit. Reference a game that I don't actually talk about very often, I thought the way Infamous did it was really, really good. Well, no, because it was a perfect... Alright, you didn't get your shit right away. What you could do was, for any power that was, like, not special, you could, like, go in and look at your little menu and see what the upgraded version did, and it had, like, the little video. Mm-hmm. You know, it had the little, like, little breakout clip of, like, what it was. I was like, oh, that's really cool. I can't wait till I upgrade my grenade, which turns into, like, 9 other grenades.
You know?
That's really cool. Yeah. But all of the other powers, which were unlocked, couldn't see until you got to the point where you unlocked it. And then he would get a vision of the power. And you're right. Discovering the power in that way, like...
find out you can do the slide, then jump and hover. I'm like, oh, my God, that's hilarious.
Because, like, and he would see that, and he would be like, oh, that's... freaking great. And it was usually the exact same thing you were saying.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, I liked that. It was really, really cool. You know? And, I mean, what better way to, like, you know, like, see it when you eventually get the ability to call down the lightning. Literally, I was like, ah, that's really fucking cool. I don't like having that stuff taken away from me.
No.
I don't. It's not right. And it isn't a matter of, like, it's cruel or anything. It's just like, yeah, now the game doesn't feel all that great. Felt pretty fucking cool for about 5 minutes. Now it doesn't feel very cool. So, nonetheless, it's pretty good. I like it. The gameplay is pretty tight. I wish the block mechanic was better. I kind of had a hard time getting my head around that. It's all... it's there. It's, you know, extant, but it's not quite right. A lot of the... a lot of the commands on the controller are somewhat context sensitive, so you have to be dead still doing like nothing, I think, to block.
Hmm.
So really, you're just better off dodging, and the dodge mechanic is really good to the point where, and I understand this doesn't change much over the course of the game, but to the point where, you know, attack, 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 dodge, dodge, attack, 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 dodge, dodge, attack, 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 basically becomes how you play the game. And doesn't change a whole lot. The fact that the enemies are fairly interesting and your attacks are pretty brutal and, you know, badass, I suppose makes up for it. So we'll see. I could get some real time with them this weekend to completely change my mind.
I didn't like that my block button is also my dash button.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just like, if you put your finger on that button, you may as well just dash.
Yeah, block. Get the fuck out, yeah.
So, but it's good. I mean, it's fun, you know, but it's obvious. I mean, it's... very clearly borrowing, and both of these games borrow very heavily from other things. So, yeah, we'll see. But it's okay. I don't want to leave the impression that I'm like shitting on it or anything. I wasn't even fucking really looking forward to it. You know, 10 days ago I was meh about it, and then like 5 days ago I got kind of amped up about it, and now I'm back to sort of meh plus like two.
So what amped you up in those 5 days?
Surprisingly, far better impressions and reviews than I had expected. Mm. A much better critical response and fan response than I had anticipated. I mean, it's up in the, 80s on Metacritic, which is better than what I thought. I kind of pegged it for like a 7 from a distance, which probably had a lot to do with the fact that I wasn't paying a hell of a lot of attention to it. And then all the people in the, particularly, you know, our trusted community had a lot of good stuff to say about it. I was like, okay, this changes my mind quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, Darksiders has an 86, and Bayonetta has an 89.
Pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
86 is, you know, actually quite good. So, we'll see how that works out over time, but yeah, that's good. So, yeah. We'll take a quick pause.
I was thinking about that, yes. Let's take a break.
We'll take a break, and we'll be back here shortly.
This is Eric from the Immortal Machines PC Gaming Podcast, where every 2 weeks we discuss retro titles,
come get some,
current releases,
Pills here,
and engage in stimulating debates. Intellectually stimulating debates about the state of the industry. Come join us anytime at immortalmachines.com and every 2 weeks for our podcast, Immortal Machines. We're all out of gum.
It's no, it's fine. I mean, whatever. That just, I mean, I know that makes it more convenient.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sure.
So you're going to buy them?
Initially, out the gate, no. Because
why?
Well, look at the.
I'm curious if I've already bought them.
Yeah.
You may have, but I mean.
Yeah.
From the names I saw, like, you know, was it Combat and some of the old classic Atari titles. I'll wait till they get actual stuff from later on in the 80s or some of the more classic, well-polished games and, you know, Atari 2600 titles.
Okay.
You know, it's one of those things I'm more interested in the long run than the initial. Because going through the initial list, I was just like, man, there's a couple in there that I'd play, but nothing really extravagant. So I'm curious what they'll do later on. If they'll bring out some of the arcade games that I love.
Well, if they've got 1,000 fucking titles lined up over the course of 3 years, like...
You know,
that there's a couple things to be learned from that. One, most of it is shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, in any group of 1,000 things, most of it is shit. So, and if we're going as far back as, like, arcade and Atari stuff, man, most of this stuff is shit anyway.
Yeah.
Download, like, a complete ROM pack for MAME and, like,
play it that way.
Yeah,
99% of the shit in it is
yeah. Have in mind. You can't, that's not, yeah, no, what he's saying is right, but you can't. That can't be on offer as an alternative to this, because the method of distribution and the method of playing it is entirely.
Is it going to be individual games or entire packs? You know,
I don't know. I'm sure they'll license it both ways. There's a 2-quarter license. You know, there's a 40 MSP license for single play.
Yeah.
Of a thing where you don't actually like buy the game itself. But I mean, for like a single platform license, $3. If it's a game you like, you know. I mean. You ever put more than $3 worth of quarters in on the same arcade game over a stretch of time?
Unfortunately.
Yeah, damn right you did. Almost always. And I'm not saying that makes it really great or that anybody should do that, but it's another one of those things where people, not necessarily our people, but I've seen a few folks out there in the internet that think it's just like totally stupid. And it's like, here's another, all it is another thing that you don't have to spend money on.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and then they say if you like go to your friend's game room and play on there, whatever they have.
Yeah, you can demo everything that they have.
Oh, okay, you can demo it.
It's not like a full game. It's not access to a full game, I don't think. I don't know what the restrictions are entirely. I don't know whether it's the game itself is GIMPed or it's time limited or something like that. I'm not sure what that is.
Yeah, I don't think we've gotten any details on that. Just
I mean, I don't know, but if like, you know, if the right thing popped up, I could easily spend $3 on the right thing.
I want my avatar to be sitting in a cabinet playing the Star Wars vector graphic game.
Yeah, I don't want to see my fucking avatar. I don't want that. I want to play the game on my fucking screen.
But like for loading, I think that'd be.
I mean, if it's if they're going to give me the arcade art mat, you know, okay, whatever, that's fine.
Yeah,
I don't care. But there's also something to be said for the fact that, you know, a lot of the arcade stuff that we get on that we've already gotten on our subsequent systems are, I mean, they run well enough and they look pretty good. But all this whole experience is supposed to be like fully HD.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is a different angle.
Okay.
On the arcade classics type of thing. This is not just tarting up what we already have. This is really tarting up what we already have. And yeah, it looks a lot like Home, except without all the parts that don't work. You know, it looks pretty simple. If all Home was an arcade, then I think the comparison would be a little more apt, but it really isn't. Home doesn't know what the fuck it is.
Yeah.
This thing knows what it fucking is. That's Microsoft doing what they do. So, I mean, it looks interesting to me. It won't cost me anything unless I want it to.
Yeah.
You know, and if I want to go buy like 2 fucking games out of the 1,000 that they plan to offer, I'd be shocked if I didn't. You're going to throw 1,000 things at me?
A couple of them are going to stick. Yeah.
So, and that's all there is to it. And to the tune of $3, like, come on, man. Like, what could we just say about Steam?
Yeah.
So, I don't understand why it can't work here as well. I'm just, something in there has to be fun. I have a feeling they'll figure it out in some way. So, I'm not going to belittle it yet. I didn't even actually look at the list of stuff that's coming out immediately. If anybody has that up, I would not mind hearing it. But, you know, not like a huge deal or anything. But I'm sure. Yeah, and this is theoretically like really great kid or girlfriend fodder, kind of depending. Or, I mean, I don't know, maybe even parent fodder, since a lot of this stuff would have been from the time when they were a little younger and a little more likely to have an opinion about what's featured in it. So,
let's see. List of titles. Where is it at?
You find it? Don't worry about it.
Right here.
It's not a big
deal. Let's see. We got stuff like Centipede, Asteroids Deluxe, Tempest, Crystal Castles, Lunar Lander, Juggler.
I can fucking play Lunar Lander for a long time.
Yeah.
That shit. Yeah. Corp Destroyer.
Road Fighter, Scrabble, Finalizer, Tutankhamun, Shaolin
Fuck
Road.
Fuck that game. God damn it.
No, I never played the arcade. I had it on the Atari 2600, though. That goddamn game, man.
What did it do to you, Jeremy?
It took me a million years to get past the first level. When I finally got to the second level, I died pretty quickly and had to go back to the first level.
No! So,
wow.
Let's see. There were only like 4 levels or something. Ridiculous hard. God damn it.
Super Cobra.
I didn't know I was still pissed off about that.
He was quick to receive. He was just like drinking his hot chocolate.
I completely forgot about that.
Go fuck that game.
It's the rage. God
damn. Man.
Red Baron, Gravatar, Battle Anus, Astro Smash, Mountain Madness, Super Pro Skiing, 2 Turbo HD. Armor Battle, Space Hawk, Sub Hunter, Sea Battle, Space Armada, another Astro Smash, Star Raider, Outlaw, Yars Revenge, Millipede Football.
Oh, snap, Yars Revenge.
Yeah. I loved Yars Revenge. Mm-hmm.
Yars Revenge was awesome.
Good.
Now, Star Raiders on the 2600 I had a ball with because it came with a little touchpad.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I had a little inset for it, and like button 1 was like your warp, and button 2 was like, I don't know, pulled up your map or some shit, and it was like, whatever. It was like the first home game I had that had more than like the stupid one little red button with a joystick.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, I'm like, got a whole fucking control panel here for my Starship. This is great. Of course, you know, it wasn't that fun a game really, but yeah. I liked having all those buttons to control my Starship with.
And the last one's Combat, which is, you know, that's just a classic.
If they bring me a port of, I mean, I don't know. If somebody could bring me like a really awesome nice looking, but still really faithful Empire Strikes Back.
Oh man,
Atari yes. Empire Strikes Back. God, I used to play that. Fucking I
played the
game
shit out of that man.
Forever. I loved it so much. It was so good.
Hit the AT-AT in that one little flashing.
Yeah, it was, the best, gotcha. Man. I dreams about that little flashing pixel.
Combat too, huh?
And combat, yeah.
Combat.
Combat was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Right. I always like the bouncy bullet levels. Mm. Oh, yeah. Either you know, when you're in the tank and then you have to do the whole ricochet shots.
Can't jump around what I played on that Atari.
Along similar lines, I know it's shocking that Microsoft's all about Natal coming out Christmas. Really fucking amazing that something like Natal is coming out in the holidays. Never would have seen that. I do think it's interesting, mildly interesting, that they've said that it eats 10-15% of the processing overhead.
Yeah. I'm surprised by that.
I'm not surprised by it. I just think it's very interesting because it's an excellent reason why Natal support probably could not be patched into existing titles.
Mm.
You know, because there's probably not a whole lot of there's very clearly has to be a lot of recognition of what Natal requires from the get-go.
Yeah.
Any Natal game, the software itself is essentially working with no more than 90% of what other games could possibly work with. I mean, that's really sort of uncharitable simplification, I know, but it's a thing. But it does seem kind of definitive that is if that is the case, then yeah, okay, we can stop expecting or hoping for or dreading the inclusion of Natal support in existing titles. And it's probably also a good reason to believe that some people will want to stay away from Natal implementation. You know, that we can't probably won't expect can expect a lot of people not to just jump on that and go down that line. And
it certainly won't be implemented haphazardly. Like, well, let's just throw it in there because it's their kind of thing. Like, you can use it for this one feature or not. You're going to have to sacrifice like a fair amount of overhead to include it. It's not just going to be thrown into everything.
Yeah. You'll know from the get-go you're in a tall game.
Yeah.
Which is really where it belongs.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'll be developing like Natal versions of the same, you know, in a non-Natal version of the same game.
I would really doubt that. Mm-hmm. What I would expect is that, well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how hard it is to just include normal stuff, but the whole point of Natal is to do shit you can't do with a controller. That's the whole point. If they're designing Natal games for non-Natal interfaces, well, that seems really fucking stupid. I don't want to play that. I want to play something that's absolutely Natal at Scott's house when he buys it. I'm buying that shit.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
So far from what I've seen, it doesn't have my interest.
Well, I ain't fucking done anything with it yet. They've sold you canned videos. That's all they've done. So fuck it. Like, it's no, it hasn't done anything yet. E3. This coming up E3. I'm not saying I don't expect them to do a lot of brilliant stuff, but that's when we can really expect to see the kinds of things that we will be doing with the hardware. At this point, it's just a lot of huffing and puffing about tech.
Yeah.
It isn't actually doing anything. I will repeat the refrain that I think that Sony's hardware, their whole process of implementing this thing is far more interesting because we can do real controller-y things with it. You know, it's got fun buttons on it. It's you know, got a lot more, better resolution, at least to the point of whatever it winds up tracking. So,
how did my Wii turn out for you? Did you use it?
A little bit, and a lot.
Dead Space Extraction was nice.
Yeah, I played some Dead Space Extraction. That was fun as hell. Played some.
That's a rail shooter, kind of like House of the Dead, right?
Yes. I'm digging back in my own mind for how I felt about it.
You hated it single player.
I really hated it single player. I never went back to it single player after I found out that a couple of the bad problems I had with it could actually be dealt with. Co-op was pretty. It was pretty good. Scott and I had a lot of fun with it, actually, more than we thought we would. It's too. Just to tell you, I've told everybody else out there before, but Too much movement of camera. Too much. Like, anytime the guy or the character in whom you are anchored moves their head, like, the camera moves. Like, it's absolutely locked to the point of view of a person's eyes. It's not what I want. I want a much more fluid experience, very much like House of the Dead has learned to
it's
do.
FPS movement, but on Rails gameplay.
With yeah. it, you have no control over
and that doesn't
it,
work.
You know? The reticles were too large. This was something we learned we could have changed, I think.
I think it was that and the reloading.
And the reloading. There was an active reload, because the reloads are exceptionally slow, and when you're getting like a lot of shit on top of you, that's real bad. But with two people, fucking shit tons of fun. Really, really cool. Kind of regret that we didn't actually finish it off. So not bad. Muramasa was really great. I just didn't like the controls. I really didn't like the controls. I know it's cheesy. I know it's cheap. I know the game is what it is, and I should accept it. But I wanted the jump button. I want to hit up to jump. I want to hit a jump button. Yeah. Very simple. It just made it the kind of thing that I was like, well, I got other stuff to play.
So. Did you do Klonoa?
I did not do Klonoa. I did not. I have played that exact... No, yeah, it, more or less that version before. But I didn't get a chance to see it on the Wii. And in the past 2 months, I haven't even had it hooked up because I don't have... I got the new TV, and I don't have component cables for it. So, but yeah, I was there for a few things, just not as much as the other things, obviously. Dead Space Extraction, though, something I would definitely like to go back to and co-op.
I'm getting more and more curious about Shattered Memories.
Shattered Memories?
Yeah. So, and we'll get your take on that coming up, because it gets... It gets high praise from one of our listeners in the emails here.
I'm curious about it, because it's also coming out for the PSP, right?
PSP and PS2.
So I'm just wondering if I should get on the PSP or the Wii.
PS2.
I mean, Wii version's out now. I think those two come out either late this month or early next month.
I like the box art for it. That's kind of... You know,
it is kind of... Well, I'll go into this later when we get the email.
Yeah, we'll get to that email.
Talking about the game and such.
Yeah. I'm very curious about it, though, because it was not on my radar, but look, when Spigot suggests something, I usually take his word for it, because he's pretty good with his taste in games compared to mine, with his feature and everything else that he does over on COD.
Yeah.
It's pretty trustworthy to go on his word, so.
I suppose anybody got down with the
downloaded it yesterday, Dark Void really? Demo. But I did not play it. Jumped into Darksiders and then totally forgot I had downloaded the damn thing.
I gotta tell you, here's my
expectation.
No.
Oh, shit.
Here's my expectation. We'll record my actual opinions later.
Yeah.
I'm going to get in, and I'm going to watch him flail around like Dude Man and Rocketeer, and look all Rocketeer for a minute, and then I'm going to get bored. Yeah, exactly. And then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go watch Rocketeer. Back when Jennifer Connelly ate food and was hot as hell.
Yeah.
Instead of looking like some kind of goddamn zombie.
That's not on Blu-ray, I don't think.
No, that movie's really fun.
Yeah.
That was really fun.
Really like that.
Go shit, it was cheesy.
That's the only thing, like when I saw it at E3, the minute he put the thing on and like jumped off and activated the fucking thing when he's flailing around, I was like, it's Rocketeer.
Yeah.
That is. But he's exactly right, and I totally feel like that's the only kick I'll get out of it. And I'm glad they released a demo so I can enjoy that kick and not have to like go out and rent it, because I really don't think I'm going to enjoy much of the game at all, except for just a little bit of that and then be done with it, I think is where I'll be on the same vein as that's concerned. You picking up some Dragon Age DLC when it comes out?
Yeah, I got to finish that game. That's what I have to do.
Another game I need to get.
Yeah, man, you need to not.
You may just want to hold on and pick up that big ass Game of the Year edition.
You need to stop. That's what you need to do. That's what you need to do.
PC, because I listened to you guys talking about how it does the isometric.
No, it's far more playable on PC.
It's
a much more playable game. But wait for sale. Just at this point, because of where you are relative to not only its DLC but additional things coming out. Don't fucking bother. It's a real meaty piece of shit, man. It's, like, pretty hardcore. The worst thing about it for me was that they started releasing mods. So anytime a PC game like that starts having mods, I fucking shut down.
Yeah.
Like, I instantly shut... That's all I do, is start fucking with mods. and I become obsessed about it, and I don't actually make fucking progress in the game. Happens to me all the fucking time.
Yeah.
So I have to, like, really get back in there. And I was also in this place where I was like, we talked about this, of course, but where I was like, maybe I should just restart with a mage, you know, because of the way that stuff happens, you know, what you and I were talking about. So I don't know. I do like my sword and board. You know, I like old boy. So we'll see. I'm definitely interested in the first DLC because of it fills in a very important void in the lore. Like it's an important little moment. So. Yeah, I'm looking for that. I'm looking forward to Infinity Ward not making Call of Duty games anymore. I think that's pretty cool. If the rumors are to be
believed,
I think
that's the right move, too. I don't know where they could have gone from the ridiculousness that was, too.
Yeah, but I don't even know where they can go. Infinity Ward don't know nothing but shooty bangs. That's the only fucking thing they know. It is the only thing they've ever done as a group of people. It's all they know. So I'm pretty sure that they want to go off to their next iteration of what, I don't know, whatever. I think there's every likelihood that, and then this, correct me if I'm wrong, but the rumor is currently that Treyarch will take over flagship development of the Call of Duty stuff, and then we're going to bring in, like,
another developer to be the
alternative. Put them on deck. Yeah, so I don't know. Another big shocker, of course, is that, you know, Call of Duty 7 is rumored to be coming in November.
So, yeah,
guys, that's amazing. I mean, yeah, we can mark time with that. It's almost an absolute, but I don't know.
Was that a Vietnam game?
Possibly. Those two rumors seem to intersect.
Okay.
Whether they actually do or not, it doesn't matter.
I'm telling you, a Korean War would be interesting.
Would it? I'm trying to remember.
I think it would.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I do think that what's interesting is if they decide to not fuck around with Modern Warfare anymore,
mm-hmm.
and just not fight EA on that with that concept, just to not fight over the concept. Not that EA is going to beat them soundly, although they might if they went toe to toe. They very well might because they don't care for the quality of Modern Warfare 2. And there's every reason to believe that EA could do it just as well or better. But this is either them running from the fight, which is not probably the case, or just abandoning the ground entirely and being like, yeah, whatever. You know, yes, you're coming up and challenging us on what made us hyper-popular, but fine, we concede that fight. We're moving on to better shit anyway, whatever that shit might be. There's the constant rumor that they're working on an MMO of some sort, which is sort of worrisome. here was my first rebuke against that is that, well, you don't know nothing about how to build an MMO. You don't know anything about that at all. You can't go from doing mostly single player stuff with intense multiplayer to building an MMO really quickly, you know, unless of course you're Blizzard. And then I think, well, Blizzard had Battle.net, which basically taught them the basics of how to build an MMO. I'm really wondering if Infinity Ward somehow thinks that that's what IWNet buys them. The understanding and the legitimacy needed to move into a more broadly multiplayer thing. I think they're very wrong, if that's their thought. If they are abandoning Call of Duty, if they are trying to expand into something like an MMO, you know, if.
Could be something as simple as they want to do something that doesn't lend itself to the Call of Duty name, like Shooty Bang Monsters or Aliens.
Which would surprise me a lot. It would surprise me an awful lot. I think it would be a mistake, too. Because that's essentially Call of Duty future.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's called that or not. And I think that would be a mistake because it is the next logical thing to expect, which in my mind kind of makes it the wrong move. Battlefield did that. It turned out badly.
That's right. What was that?
2142.
2142.
Not that not that the concept is all wrong. I think most of it was bad execution, but just the automatic understanding. It is, quite honestly, a little more difficult when you don't have real-world analogs for equipment and weaponry. You have to build everything from scratch. You know, I don't exactly know how difficult it is, but inventing laser physics is probably tougher than using, you know, years and years and years of established bullet physics and sounds and all this other stuff. So I think it would be a mistake. But we'll see. I mean, they're not terribly imaginative guys, but they're bullheaded and they have a lot of mind share, you know, and they have a lot of goodwill from Activision. They probably have a lot of, you know, a lot of room to move laterally. So maybe something creative will actually occur. Meanwhile, the group of people who I personally consider better at handling the Call of Duty name now will be handling the Call of Duty name. So maybe that means more co-op. I don't know.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah.
It's an interesting thing. Kind of inevitable, I suppose. I mean, as inevitable as a November Call of Duty. You know, that they would have to go to another thing. So, yeah, we'll see. What up?
Now, I'm going to move on to Twitter.
Them messages.
Them their tweets.
Them their messages.
Get them. I got to figure out even where to begin.
Oh,
I
totally wouldn't even look at it. I'm glad, you know, it's really tragic you couldn't have done that before now.
while you're doing that, like, I did think it was kind of cool that Sony announced they were expanding the PSN service.
That is very interesting, that they were broadening the service to other...
To include other Sony devices. They're going to expand, like, I think, what is it, later this month?
Well...
The video service to work on, like, some of their TVs.
Fucking TVs. Players. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now, related to that, just after we had done our last show, was that whole rumor popping up about the subscription service for PSN.
Yeah.
Popping up.
I think it's a necessity.
I totally do.
Not necessarily as a consumer, but just kind of looking at the way all this shit works. You know, they've done a lot of good in trying to play catch up. They've got a good service. I think it could be much improved if the back end was fed by a subscription model of some kind. I would personally have no qualms in spending a little bit of money to see some better shit.
Yeah, and I mean, in the options that they were given, there was, you know. The benefits were...
The theoretical benefits.
Right, this is all rumor. But the benefits that you would get from subscription seemed very, very good.
The unlimited PS1 store?
Yeah.
That's a big motherfucker right there.
That would do it right there for me.
Well, I mean, possibly in an even better than simply being able to buy them.
Yeah.
Because it's like... I don't know if I want this. This was a great PS1 game. Is this still playable? No, it's shit. Fuck it, you know? Mm-hmm. Or you go back and you find a real gem. Mm-hmm. You know? And if this also equals then expanding the store to some meaningful degree, you know?
Like, I'm much more likely to subscribe to a digital library than I am to buy from it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just because, like, I know, and there's plenty of stuff that I buy on the 360, on a Live Arcade and on a PSN, but every time I do, I know, like, well, you know, I'm only going to have this until basically I move to the next system and this one dies, or I sell it and gather dust. Like, it's not a permanent thing. I'm not really buying it to have it forever. It's not going to be a part of my permanent collection. But, like, with a subscription service, you're going to give me access to everything for a monthly fee? Yeah, man. I'm all about that.
Yeah.
As a gamer.
Yeah.
That's why I love GameFly. You know, give me a digital version of that, and this is like the closest thing to that, that, you know, that they're offering me right now. So yeah, sure.
All right. Let's see. Okay, I posted a picture. We got a lot of responses back from the picture.
And we need to do another picture. Thank you for saying that. I want to do another picture where this fucking shit is clear as day. That's what we need to do. Because it was apparently, like, really confusing, and it looked weird, and we were all sitting down, and it was all, like, you know, and then Matt's back now, so he can take the picture.
Yeah. Like, SBB Tool needed a roll call, and he says, I need to look at this while listening to your next show. The versions of you in my head don't match. We got a lot of that. Theodar said, I shouldn't have looked at this. Very different from the image you all of you all in my head. Nice hair jaw. Which yeah. I'm guessing was James, you know, so he got cut off. Frank J. Cohn says, I can totally put James and his voice together. Jeremy as well. Not anyone else, though.
It was, and it wasn't like, you know, the crispest, most easily...
No, it was just an iPhone. It was like, you know, send it right. off.
Funny, I think you guys look exactly how my picture is sounding.
Luckless Wonder says...
Mr. Ship your ass back over there. You start being funny, or else you're going back. You're going to me.
Luckless Wonder says, finally getting to play Dragon Age. The Magi Origin really makes me think of Wheel of Time.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it really
does. I remember that game.
That game was really cool. That game had one of the best levels in it I've ever played in a video game. One of the... And left such a deep... Actually, there were two levels in that game that left enduring impressions on me. One of them was in when you were... it's a quick little thing. Like, you were... Whatever, if you don't know the Wheel of Time, I'm just going to give you the briefest thing. Basically, the character you play cannot use magic. They're like a... They're like a retard mage or something. And they're like raised with mages and shit. But they can't fucking use magic. They can only use artifacts. And so they have like fucking gear and shit that they have on them. And all magic spells are performed by like using the thing. You know, like you want magic missile, you gotta have like a handful of magic missile or whatever. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
One of them was like this level where you're basically stuck like, you know, overnight. In this dark kind of ruin of a city, and you're being attacked by shit that's coming out of shadows, and it was like one of those really intense type of missions. Been repeated several times, but the intensity of how this one worked was like, it was just awesome. The way things were like coming out of shadows at me and stuff. It also had a very long and very involved dungeon that was nothing but traps, no enemies whatsoever, just nothing but intricate traps. And you had to like use all of your powers and everything, or your items, your artifacts, to deal with this environment. And the entire environment was just layers and layers of different traps to get through stuff. And at the time, this is a long time ago. This is, 10 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
99?
Easily 99, yeah.
99, 2000? So, yeah, 10 years ago. And at the time, nobody was really doing that. There was not in a game like this. There wasn't anything that was entirely you versus a clever environment. And it affected me intensely. And I still haven't seen enough of it. And it wasn't puzzles. It was like the environment was trying to kill you because it was all lethal traps. But it was about how you having to outsmart them. And the way that it was done was something that we don't see very often. We are recording a show here. You guys can go outside? What are you talking about? What the fuck are you talking about? We're talking about fucking show over here. I don't give a fuck about like goddamn Star Wars shit over there. What is it? Star Wars Monkey Island? Fucking weird shit over there? People in Iraq hate it when you talk about this shit. You've been holding your tongue since you've been over there. You want to come over here and show us this shit instead of recording the show?
Oh, shut your laughing.
No, I'm just thinking like, oh man, the teacher got pissed. saw you, slipping that note in the middle of, you know, the class.
He's right though. The whole thing in the tower and all the other stuff. There's shades of Wheel of Time there. Good old game.
Glitch W says, I just listened to the Assassin's Creed 2 spoilers, and I'm wondering if any of you did the extra assassinations. They're quite satisfying. I think we mentioned this, is that I had more of a feeling of Assassin's Creed 1.
Yeah. While doing the alternate assassination missions.
Yes.
They were good. I really liked them. I left a lot of them hanging. I didn't finish all of them. I left the game with a whole lot of them there. That was at the point where I realized, like, okay, I'm not 1,000-pointing this now. I'm coming back to it later. I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
So I left a whole bunch of stuff for me to do.
Have you guys tried the Bloodlines on the PSP?
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. Here's what you do.
You remember how we treated Resident Evil Gun Survivor?
Yeah.
Do the same thing.
Do the same thing. I'm not.
Go to Wikipedia
and just
read all the plot points.
Because I do not play it.
I got it with my my PSP. It came with it, and I've been playing through it, and it's
don't bother. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Don't bother yourself. It's not worth the extra swag you get. Well, what'd you get? You got Assassin's Creed on
360.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, don't bother. Everything we've read, it's like you want to know all the stuff there is to know. You're better off playing, just going straight to 2, and then reading all about that.
Okay.
Which is unfortunate because I kind of wanted to play it, but everyone's like, "Nah, don't worry about it. Just get the lore." So, I mean, if you really like it and all, you know, because.
You know, for a handheld Assassin's Creed, you know, it's not terrible. The voice acting is...
You're not supposed to play things that aren't terrible. You're supposed to play things that
are good.
There's
so many great
things.
Right
now, for fuck's sake, dude, there's so much good.
Well,
like, you had time for...
You know, before I got back, and so...
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I had it in the desert, and that's why, you know...
Okay.
I played, you know, I was playing it there.
That must be refreshing.
To play a game,
That occurs largely in environments like that while you're in the desert. That's really awesome. That's what I'd want to do.
Like, hey, this you know, entire plot happened just right down the street from me.
Something like
that. That's cool. No, I just, that's what Jeremy did. We just read all the stuff, and it helps. Largely because, I don't know, are you, you said you haven't gotten to Venice yet.
No.
What's been going on? You have any, like, sort of weird dreams and shit yet?
I haven't gotten out of the Animus 2 yet. I'm still in the Animus 2.
Have you flown? Have you become disembodied and flown into Altair Spur?
No.
Because in Bayonetta, you do that.
I can't really think of a... Because that happens.
Okay. No,
okay.
I killed the...
Man, I'm making this shit up.
I know you're not.
I killed the guy that, you know, like, basically betrayed the family and, like, had the dad and the brothers all
pumped. Yeah.
If you haven't exited the Animus yet, you're not there yet. Yeah.
Some other stuff happens. But, like, that happened. Yeah. And then, like, the next day, Jeremy and I were like, what the fuck just happened? Like, I get that I just flew into my own, like, my great-great-whatever sperm. Like, I'm okay. Took me a while to be okay with it, but I'm okay with that. But, like... Who was like, what's her name, and then what the hell? You know, like, what the fuck? So that, because I didn't remember anything. And then there's a point in there where something happens, and you're kind of like, clearly I'm supposed to remember this, and I don't remember it. And that sends you, you may have a better memory of it since you're playing Bloodlines of Old Girl. But, like, having been 2 years since I played Assassin's Creed, like... I didn't even remember a girl being in Assassin's Creed, and I forgot about...
The Templar chick?
Yeah, disabled girl.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it, you know, again, it's been 2 years. Like, I don't remember. And I certainly didn't know that Altair got his business with her. Like, I had no idea, no inkling of that. So it was very confusing for me. But, yeah, okay, anyway, that's all, like, tied into what happens in Bloodline, so...
Okay.
Crazy shits.
Clemdog says, I need another show. Please, I need a hit. Can't wait till the next show. I have an hour drive to work, so I really need your show. and you got the show. Count Eldor says, don't do that. I was going to move to Alabama, and how do you guys into continuing the show?
What?
I don't know. He's obviously responding to something. I'm going to check out what he was responding to. Oh, yeah, never mind. We posted the show and said final episode of 2009.
Right.
And he got a little
also
nervous.
Final episode of the old place.
The old ways. Klimdog says, firing the Wii back up after a year and a half, was wondering what your top five games that you've recently come down, that have recently come down in price, Xbox as well, because he's new to it. Top five games on the Wii? Mario Galaxy. New Super Mario Bros. It hadn't come down in price, but I would go for that one, too.
Yeah. Klonoa.
Yeah. You would probably suggest... Would you suggest Twilight Princess?
Considering I never finished it...
It wasn't bad.
I'll say go for it.
It wasn't great.
I wouldn't get it at normal price, but if it's down, then yeah, definitely. I'd pick it up.
Mad World's down in price. I'd go for that,
yeah, too. Yeah, was it like 20?
Yeah, it's down to 20 bucks, yeah.
Also, that Overkill is a lot of fun.
I've heard that.
Yeah. It really is.
You got a good little selection.
I feel like I'm forgetting something that I really enjoyed on it.
I played a Brawl. Out,
it wasn't Punch Out.
No, Melee. Yeah. I played Smash Brothers Melee for the first time. Yeah, I think I'm going to pass on that one.
Mario Kart. I'm trying to figure out Jeremy's.
I mean, I played Smash Brothers and enjoyed it like I did a Smash Brothers game. But that's not.
Jeremy's really digging here. He's got something.
No. If I think of it, I'll mention it.
Clearly,
it made a really strong impression on me.
Yeah, apparently.
Right. So much you forgot about it completely.
Maybe I just feel like there should be more things for a system I've owned for that long that I really enjoyed. But there's that.
Theonar says, thanks, Traximus, for fixing the episode. I hate trying to put podcasts downloaded outside iTunes on my iPod. It doesn't work quite how I want it to. So thanks for fixing that.
Yeah, I still don't know what was wrong with that.
What I did?
Because it wasn't where that. I mean, we know what was wrong with it. We don't know why that happened.
Right.
Yeah. Iron Bass says, I think I had a good holiday, received from multiple family sources and mostly from your suggestions. And he sent us a picture.
I saw the picture.
Iron Bass got him a PS3 Slim. Got him. He got charge pods for his 360 and his PS3 controllers. Got a remote control for it. Got a DualShock 3. God of War collection. Little Big Planet. Uncharted 2. Uncharted 1. Infamous. And Crack in Time Future. Ratchet and Clank.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I'd suggest going back and picking up the first one as well, because it's also a good game. I don't see in his picture, though, Triggers.
MGS4 also. Pick that up.
Yeah, you need Triggers for the Trogger Redactors.
Yeah,
you need. You know, I was skeptical about those also, but you know, James sold me on, and I just can't imagine it without.
My only problem is $5 you will ever spend.
My only problem is that you can still be torn off if you're getting really intense.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I would highly. I mean, if you
super glue that shit.
Oh, I've never had that happen to me.
Yeah, man. Like
I've had it just in transit
before.
Yeah,
that things just pop off.
When you feel like really good aggressive
epoxy on that thing.
Seriously, throw some super glue or some epoxy on it because you don't need.
You don't ever want them off.
There's no need for them to ever come off.
So that was a good haul.
It feels odd when the triggers come off. You notice it. Ugh.
Yeah, it's like it's nasty. It's weird.
Because I'm too laid back for that.
Yeah, I'm not laid back. It happened to me repeatedly in. The Bad Company 2 beta.
Yeah.
And the Dante's Inferno demo, of all things. I think.
Happened to me on the Dante's Inferno as well.
There's something on R2 or L2 that I kept having to do. And I had to take them off because they kept falling off. I need to epoxy.
I believe you block with block like there. L2, I think. Same thing like God of War. I believe you block with L2.
Looking forward to that game, man. I know a lot of people aren't.
Yeah, you went so far as to buy a new book.
I bought a very recent.
Which game?
Dante's Inferno.
Oh, okay.
I actually bought a more recent translation of Inferno so I could reread it. I haven't read it in, fuck all, I don't know, 20 years. You know, that's in school.
Yeah.
And there's like, there are new waves, new types of, basically like translations of Inferno, like these translations are to the classic Inferno, what classic translations, I guess I should say, what like the NIV Bible is to the King James, you know. The whole point is not necessarily to maintain the strict structure of allegory stuff, but to essentially make it readable and make it an English poem an English just basically to make the story flow a little bit better. It does not have the mirrored Latin text. It doesn't have any of that shit. It's just, here is a readable poetic translation of it that is still pretty close. I mean, obviously, it's sneered at by academics, but it's like, dude, fucking, we're choking on academic translations of this stuff. Like, if someone's going to put another one out there, why not simply take another path, you know? But, and I know, I'm not saying, like, I expect the game to be at all, the narrative to be especially intense. Mostly what I'm looking at is, I'm interested because these guys did go back to the original stuff to draw their inspiration for how they build the world, the broad strokes. And I haven't read it in forever, and it really is actually a quick read. So I just bought it, you know. I bought it again. I was like, I want to read it again. rather than just having my memories of what it was. I'm not sure if this comes up in an email or something, or whether it was something like somebody said in one of the threads. I know that came up at some point, that somebody had would rather have conceived of the game as something entirely different.
Well, I think it came up in an email, but I think we covered it our last episode.
Did we cover it?
I believe so, yeah.
I thought it was a little more recent than that. I mean, honest to God.
It wanted them to take the adventure game tack on.
Yeah, dude, I want to go back. I want to go fucking, like, Sierra game. You know? I would honestly want to go
that.
All, like, hardcore old school adventure game. But yeah. Man, that ain't going to fucking happen. I was trying to find the best way to enjoy something that, you know, I liked the demo. I liked it. It was kind of fun, you know? Who knows? I'm fucking choking on goddamn action games this season, aren't I?
Yeah.
Yes, good ones for the most part.
And they're all turning out to be pretty well done.
At worst, above average.
Yeah. So. All right. I got a string of them from Nabokov fan here, so hang tight. Nabokov fan 87 says, so I just got my first Christmas bonus ever. Hello, PS3. But should I wait for a sale? Have to buy at Best Buy. Which I think he actually went and bought a PS3. Nabokov fan 87 says, since I'm on a roll, James, your stack of Steam games told me to tell you to stop making excuses. Duke Nukem Co-op. You shoulda. I did. And then
I
says...
I have a crappy list of Steam games, actually. Yeah. It really is. I'm admitting to that. It's not especially good.
I've got a shit ton now to mess. And I'm building a computer to go with it, so...
He's not.
Bullshit, I know.
He's building a wish list.
No, oh, okay. I'm building it.
Yeah, well, I'm building it. Yeah. Did you build the last wish list? What about the one before that? No.
No, there was only one. There was only one.
Whatever.
Then I'm going to do one because I'm building one.
You're full of shit. You're going to build by yourself?
If I have to.
There you
go.
There you go. I went over to his house and I was like helping him like change some stuff in his list. And I think for one of the, like on one of them, I was like, and I just don't feel like putting that in your machine. You should take that out of your list because I don't feel like putting that in there. And I know I'm going to be putting
that in there. And I totally took it out because I'm like, yeah, if you're going
to
be building this.
I need to look at your list again, by the way.
Yeah, I've made some changes. But only out of, you know, some of the suggestions that I've gotten from the community.
Because I was actually looking in that list for something, and I clicked on the referred link to the motherboard for the Intel chips, and it was an AMD motherboard. I meant to point that out in that thread, that it was not linking to an Intel Asus board. And I wanted to make sure you didn't do that.
Yeah, I know.
How you do what you do. Yeah. You just go in and you click on all the stuff in the links, which is fine, but it needs a little oversight.
He also says, listening to when you were going over the list for next year, any reason why no PS3 games were mentioned?
They were.
And I believe that they were. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could have sworn that they were.
I mean, all right, the vast majority of them are multi-platform.
Right.
But Final Fantasy 13, God of War 3, those are two right off the top of the bat that I can think of. I have to look at the list, even remember what is and is not exclusive.
Mag,
which is still kind of a question mark for me, but...
Talking about games
coming out? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hang on, I just closed my PS3,
Is Heavy Rain going to be multi-platform?
Heavy Rain's another one. Heavy Rain's another one.
Heavy Rain is PS3 only.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking
for. No, it's... Yeah, I'm surprised, dude, that you didn't hear us mention them. Like, there are more, certainly... more worthwhile PS3 exclusives.
White Knight Chronicles just got announced not too long ago, and that's that's PS3 only.
Now, are we just doing PS3 only?
Yeah, because
Final Fantasy isn't exclusive.
Oh, that's right, it isn't.
Yeah, I'm not really seeing
Japanese exclusive.
Okay,
you know, just what we mentioned Mag and Heavy Rain and God of War 3 is all on that's coming up here. As being completely exclusive. Yeah, I don't see anything else that was coming out in the next 3 months anyway.
Right.
That was not going to be on both systems.
Yeah, I don't know. So,
other than what we said.
But that's three exclusives right there.
Well, so. And not to mention, well, I guess explicitly to mention the fact that a lot of them that are multi-platform, or at least a handful of them, will be picking up on PS3 just because.
Yeah.
Because I prefer it there.
Now, we just named three. This is going off topic. Well, not really. Going sidetracked a little bit. But we just picked three
PS3 games that are exclusive within the next 3 months. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me three 360 games that are exclusive in the next 3 months?
Conviction.
Yeah, I was going to
say. Mass Effect, Conviction. Anything else? Is
BioShock going to be a day and date?
It's day and date.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It is actually day and date all the way around. Okay.
Oh, unsure.
That's true, yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to look at the list. Off the top of my head, this is the only two.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, I forgot about Splinter Cell. I'd forgotten about Splinter Cell, but I was thinking there's not many that are, you know, that are exclusive for...
Not in this part of the year.
In the next 3 months, yeah.
Yeah, but like, I'm planning on getting Final Fantasy and Dante's Inferno on the PS3.
Yeah, I'm in the same camp. Yeah. Both of those. I really liked the demo of it on the PS3.
Mm-hmm. Is Alan Wake going to be multi-platform?
That's 360.
No, only. That's 360 only. Actually, it's not even. That's not even like PC.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The PC version died a while.
That's not the next three months.
Until May, right?
Oh, is it
or April?
Did they push that?
That doesn't have a date.
Why do people always say that? They didn't fucking push back. They're just.
I thought it was announced for early.
Keep in mind who tells you dates when you read dates, like. These are a group of guys who have never, ever given a date. The most they've ever done is said, like, a season or a quarter of the year. And even then, they're very non-committal.
It's got a to be determined here. Yeah. So it's not even...
I think we're looking at, like, before May, I think. But I don't think... April, May. Who knows?
Yeah,
so I don't know, man. I mean, there's not many exclusives going either way. So... Mm. I don't know what to say. I mean, maybe we just did. It's kind of hard. We've missed a lot of these titles when we've done roll call sometimes. But as we've said before, I think the exclusive list on the PS3, I mean, it's a tight race this time because usually I think they're nicer on the PS3. I think they're much more interesting on the PS3. This time around, it's a little tough, you know? Heavy Rain, Final... I can't Final Fantasy. I gotta get that out of my fucking head. Heavy Rain, God of War. What else did we say?
Mag.
Yeah, Mag. That was another one. Versus Splinter Cell, Mass Effect. That's tough. That's real tough. Whatever. Gonna have them all anyway.
Pokemon? Shodan 2020 says, hey Scott, I saw you playing some Bayonetta this evening. How do you like it? Same for RJ. I wonder how the PS3 version is. We kind of touched on this at the beginning of the episode.
You will know by the time you get to this,
exactly.
To this point.
But no tweet goes unread. So, on to the emails now.
Emails?
Yes. Lots of them.
I can't do them all.
No. But we'll hit some here. Anthony writes in and says, I've been losing patience for games being broken up into series of missions. Why not just input a broad, vague objective that drives the entire game and allows the player to figure out the steps? It's like learning to drive from my parents. After a while, just shut the fuck up and let me drive.
Harder, more expensive. Like, I don't know, maybe it's a psychological problem. Maybe it's not just a cost analysis. Maybe it's psychologically difficult to build something like that.
I haven't account for what choices the player would make.
Yeah, or even just to lay something out like that. Anytime you go to construct something, you build plans and you make outlines and you have breakdowns and
it's good to have that structure of a mission.
Yeah, like people. Yeah, it makes it easy to understand. I don't know which psychology is maybe more important, if it's a psychological issue at all. The players or the designer.
About that. That Venetian Tower in Assassin's Creed 2. Why can't I climb the damn
tower? Yeah, that shit pissed me off. Let me tell you something. There's a tower. There's a tower in Venice you can't fucking climb. I don't give a fuck.
At all?
He's doing you a service by telling you this.
I'm not kidding. Because it's labeled on the map as a viewpoint, as one of the viewpoints. But you can't climb that motherfucker until a certain point in the story lets you climb it. You learn a new skill. They don't tell you that. They mark it as a fucking viewpoint. And I spent... I would fuck around with it and then leave and come back. I think I spent 90 minutes cumulatively trying to climb that fucking tower.
I probably spent around 30 to 45 minutes on it.
What you said?
Of all the different... Well, I would come back
I eventually decided... And yeah, I did it in like two different sets of, you know, going to it. But yeah, eventually I was like, there's got to be something that I don't have yet that let me get up there. And at the time I was thinking maybe the flying machine. you know, because I knew I hadn't gotten to that point yet. But so I decided I'd just come back to it later. And
now, it's real simple. You learn one stupid bullshit little trick, and it lets you fly, climb up it. But the problem is, it's labeled, like, as a viewpoint. If all they had to do was not have that label there.
Until later.
But yeah, that's a perfect example of, like, getting stuck in a psychological rut. And maybe, here I am earlier in this same episode, man, extolling the virtues of absolute non-deviating linearity. You know, for the fact that it frees my psychology up to focus on different things. So, I don't know. Again, I don't even want to indicate that I want that all the time or more often. I'm just saying that was a thing. But it's to be considered. Like, my first thought is, what you're asking is expensive and hard. And even the kings of the fucking world, man, like Infinity Ward and Naughty Dog, even these guys that represent the absolute bleeding edge of performance, and their products represent the top end of both critical and market acclaim, these fuckers are still operating under horrifying deadlines.
Yeah.
Like, you think they would get a little leeway to just be Google about it for a while and just sort of free think and, like, code for their game in between sessions of ping pong. But that's not how it works. So if the kings of the fucking realm can't just go off and create some sort of something that's less complicated or more complicated, less sort of stringent, yeah, man, I don't know. I'd run straight for the right out of the box, straight off the shelf mission structure kind of thing. And it's possibly not even what you're referring to, but my first thought is cost and time and all of these other things. And then my second is those things. If those things aren't even a question, then there's a lot of psychology to deal with. And I don't even think that's something that's thought about as much as it should be anymore. I think we do missions by rote, you know?
Yeah.
All right, Dustin Fisher Theonar writes in and says, I'll keep it short so that Scott doesn't imply with his speech manners that he doesn't approve of the length, and also fuck up what he wrote just a minute ago. This is why I support James and his ball busting of Scott, because Scott's a jerk. See? I'll still read your shit, even when you do this.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
I'm bust your balls.
I'm all about busting other people's balls.
Yeah.
After listening...
I'm going to be all Hans Bricks on you.
after listening to the tear... just trying to read the letter. After listening to the deer melting episode and the discussion on morality systems, I realized the same thing you guys did, and that you were right. Dragon's Age system is no different, since again it gives you less if you go bad, but more if you're good. I think the thing I was more excited about wasn't the morality system in itself, but the way it ties into dialogue with the characters in your party. In retrospect, it's still not enough, as it can get tedious if you overdo it like I did and get burned out on the quest talking, which is added to it, which is why I'm taking a break before finishing the game. However, I did have my character sleep with both Morgan and, after breaking it off with Morgan, Liliana, is that how that's pronounced?
That's pretty good.
On the same playthrough, which should give you a good idea of how you can use dialogue. Now, there's motivation for some people. In conclusion, the system is not perfect, but it's a step in the right direction. I just wanted to add those contributions. I'm close to the end of the Swiss Chef episode now, and I want to finish it. So take care, guys. Keep up the good work. It's appreciated. Dustin, he also says, Scott, since you don't know me and it's hard to tell intent, tone from text, I was kidding. James still has my support, though.
That's good stuff. Thanks for that.
Stephen Melton writes in and says, evening, guys. I see some of you are from Prattville. I just moved here from Columbus, Georgia. And I'm trying to find out which ISP is good up here. I just moved into an apartment that uses charter, so I went with it. It's pretty good up here. Lifelong gamer here, worked for the Cyber Athletic Professional League and Cyber Athletic Amateur League for over 10 years, and play most MMOs and FPSs. So definitely will be listening to you guys. Glad I found you.
Cool. Man, that's really cool. Scott and I are Prattville. Everybody else is Montgomery. Matt is the sand. Occasionally. Dave's the iceberg. But when he's not the iceberg, he's Prattville.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, Scott and I are Prattville. We live like right down the street from each other. We both use Nology. You still use Nology, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They seem to have a lot more long-term stability. They don't have the best prices, and they don't have the best packages, and yeah, certainly you've made your decision long since.
Yeah, I believe Charter has the speed.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. They have
a lot more speed.
They have much better speed packages and stuff like that. Now, they didn't used to.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But they offer a lot better
stuff. Which is why we have Nology right now.
Yeah, I've used Nology in this area for like...
A decade?
Almost, yeah. And
back when I worked for them.
I've been using them uninterrupted now for like 8 years. And I don't have any problems. Man, I don't have any outages. I don't have any fucking problems with my shit. Charter, I don't know. I mean, speaking entirely anecdotally, I know more people that like what Charter has to offer and seem to be a little happier in the long term with Nology, but that's not a definitive opinion. I just know that Scott and I use them, got no issues. And I only like use them for internet and like basic cable. I haven't partaken in any of the advanced sorts of deals and things that you can do. So there are benefits clearly to each.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I use Charter. If they fucking have problems, switch Nology. It's no worse, I guess. I can say that. If that makes sense. Fuck it, you're in Prattville. We should go eat.
Yeah.
So, like, anything else to do in this fucking part of the world?
Or bowling. Like, you bowl.
You drink.
Yeah.
Like, seriously. Like, that's all anybody does around here. They go out to eat. Like... very strange place.
Spigot writes in and says, "Hey again, guys. As I listen to the Swift Chef episode and James' response to my postulation of Heavy Rain as being the game that gives you lots of choices that matter, I remembered another game series that has been out for several years that also does much of what James has asked for. Way of the Samurai.
I never played that.
There are four games in the series, three in the main line of the series, and the very odd Samurai Western, which puts you in the shoes of a katana-swinging Ronin in the middle of the Wild West. For those of you who don't like rambling conversations in your games, Way of the Samurai 3, which is on the 360, even has the option to interrupt every conversation by slicing the other person with your sword. Hell,
it sounds like that kind of game.
Yeah, it really does.
Hell, I'm pretty sure you can kill every single person in the game during a playthrough if you're so inclined. Keep up the great work, guys. Bigot.
That's really cool. I have to check that out.
You're talking too much.
I like that sort of stuff. I really like my brutality in my games lately. I need it more. I don't know why. I need that sort of stuff really is good for me. I'm becoming less subtle.
I decided
in my game tastes.
In my new playthrough of Oblivion, I'm just going to go through and murder every last.
Are you playing through Oblivion again?
Huh? When I was in the desert.
That'll be his excuse for everything.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Like I said, I go through some of the older titles, and so I was trying to
remember. How do you even play through Oblivion? I know you guys have all like mostly fucking done it. I can't do that shit. I always wind up running from some wolf for like 30 minutes, and then being like, "Fuck this noise!"
Did you turn the difficulty all the way down?
No, I didn't touch it.
Okay,
And that's the other thing. That game's leveling system was honestly very broken. Yeah. The whole system was fucking broken. That's why I never went back to it and finished it. It was just like, oh, whatever. You know? I thought I was going to be smart by, like, doing the thing where you hang your controller, or you, like...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And just run?
Yeah, I snuck in a corner near an enemy that could never find me, and so I hung my controller by a little ponytail hair tie that I had in my pocket, and I hung it from the knob on a drawer, and then went and had dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back and was like leveled up a million times or whatever, you know. But it was after I had figured out that it has to be like a secondary skill or something like that, because, you know, whatever. Because my sword sucked or some shit. Like, fucking Oblivion, fuck that shit. Too much shit to do in that game. Way too much shit to do. Now, why are you playing Oblivion game? What were you talking about?
Killing every last person in the game.
Oh, okay.
That you're allowed to, because, you know, some, you know, major NPCs you know you can't kill, you just knock them out.
Right.
But other than that, I was just like murdering everybody in a town.
No, they deserve it.
I had the same idea in Fallout 3. Just doing that, just like shooting everybody.
That's that works pretty well, actually. in Fallout 3. I did that a little bit. This guy is fucking tired. It's like, I don't care what you have to say.
That one town full of cannibals? Yeah, I murdered every last one of them.
How did you do that?
Ate them.
which way did you do that? Like how did you... Because you can play that a couple different ways when you come out of it.
The first time I played through was good, and like all aghast at what they were doing, and then, you know,
right,
bring down the hand of God and smote them. The other time I was just like, oh, I'll play along with it, and the next, you know, just
kind of kill them. Yeah, that was fun.
Eric writes to us and says, hey guys, love the show. Just started listening about 6 shows ago and have been hooked ever since.
Nice.
I have had a 360 for about 2 months. I got Borderlands, ODST, big Halo fan, and Fable 2. I'm looking for games with substance that have stories that make me want to keep playing just to see what happens next. And if the gameplay is good, that's a plus. I'm more into the story, but I do want to play some of the older titles that have come down in price. What are your best of the best storyline games that you have played and loved?
Thanks
for all the great shows and keep them coming.
Yeah. Bioshock.
You got to play Bioshock. Good, really good gameplay mechanics. Look really intriguing.
Dead Space.
Seriously, Dead Space, man. Like, not enough people have played Dead Space. It was really fun. Like, really good game. Yeah. Not the greatest story in the world, but, like, you know.
Very atmospheric.
Yeah, you can see shit coming from a mile away, like, in terms of the story. But, I mean, it's really good. It was really, really a lot of fun to play. Shit. Let me think. It's kind of hard to...
I enjoyed Mass Effect's story.
Mass Effect was really good.
Prince of Persia.
Yes. Prince of Persia. Very good. Let me give you a recommendation about Mass Effect. I can't imagine wanting to play 2 before 1. Or without playing 1, sorry. Either before or whatever. At this point, I think 2 is going to make 1 unplayable.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. They're fixing so many of the things that were perceived as really bad problems with the first game that you want to play the first one completely unaware of 2. When you do it, don't fucking bother with side missions. Don't fucking bother hunting down all those goddamn...
points on the planet.
Yeah, weird things on the planet. I did all of that stuff.
So did I.
Same. And you know what? Not worth it. Nope. Absolutely not worth it.
We've done it for you. Don't worry about it.
This is the advice James has given me after I told him I bought it from Steam.
You absolutely really, really, really have to do this. You just play the campaign. And now I'm not saying like ignore all things that aren't main campaign, but don't go hunting.
There are
down.
Some fun side story things, but
yeah, some of them.
No, Rex's armor.
Yeah. Stuff like that. And stuff that actually will play out in the fabric of 2's universe if you transfer your save.
You should do, like, anything that has story to it.
Right. I guess I shouldn't say secondary side missions. More like the tertiary exploration stuff, where you simply run into a system, scan everything everywhere, go down to every planet for the tiny little textual nuggets of backstory, which are so thin.
Is that shit pretty apparent?
I can't remember at this point.
I want to say that it is.
Okay. It's pretty obvious that this is something.
Here's what happens: you'll tool around in a more or less populated area, and you'll pick up a thing, and you'll decode some whatever, and it'll be a message from a thing that's off somewhere, and you can kind of figure out that that's sort of a secondary quest. Aside from that, you'll go into a system, scan all the planets, look at a planet. You can land on the planet. You just go down to the planet. There might be some things there. Some thugs to kill. Some crazy hidden messages in some pod. Stuff like that. That stuff's all pointless. Mm-hmm. I want to say that it was pretty recognizable. But it should take you no more than like maybe 10 hours if you do this. If you do the thing this way. You will have lost nothing. I assure you. Because they are taking an entirely different approach in the second game. It was not optimized especially well on the 360, in my opinion, but I don't find that it's optimized especially well on the PC either.
Are you getting Mass Effect 2 on the PC?
I am getting it on the 360.
Okay.
I have changed my mind.
All right.
One, I don't want to do another playthrough of Mass Effect on the PC to have a transferable save.
Makes sense.
I'm more or less happy with my Shepard. I hope I can maybe change the way he looks, because I don't really want to do that. And he is a he, which kind of sucks. Two, I got a fucking badass TV now. That shit looks great. So I kind of want to see it on the TV. You know, like, whatever. It would feel a little bit better. So the 360 is going to win out in that regard. Also, I don't have to buy it because Dana's getting it for Christmas.
Oh, nice.
So save another purchase. But yeah, that's a recommendation.
The Assassin's Creed
series.
You know.
Two more. It's just Lost Odyssey. Very story-heavy.
Yeah, no. Yeah. It's the preeminent JRPG.
Yeah. What's your story? There you go.
And Silent Hill Homecoming is another good one.
Which you can find for really cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it's like down to like $20.
I got it for like $10 at a Best Buy sale, so it's like really good.
Not sure what other things you like or don't like. Burnout Paradise. Great game that could be gotten cheap. Like, really, really fun.
Not much story there, but...
You know. I was going to say, we're kind of moving away from the story.
No. Yeah, I know, but, like, just trying to, like, flesh out, like, other nice
You're getting a shit ton for your money when you buy that game.
That's just one I always have to recommend to people that have not had a 360 for very long, because you can get the motherfucker for, like, $10.
Yeah.
Like, bought it for $7 on Steam again.
And it's, like, and it's just fucking great. And you don't ever have to do a goddamn thing, except it looks awesome. So, story or no story, I always recommend it.
Yeah, that's going good, because he just got his 360, so we have to cover...
That first year, it doesn't fucking matter.
Wasn't there anything that stuck out during that first year?
No, not really.
I guess not. Any of the arcade games you should... Shadow Complex?
Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe on story,
yeah. I don't know. I mean, that list right there. But shut up. I'd start with that list. That's a great place to be.
Yeah, you've got a lot. You've got a lot. And I'll tell you now, I know you just picked up the show, so head over to colonygamers.com and number one, you won't find, you'll find plenty of threads that have what you're looking for talking about, but if not, create one and you'll get your help. You'll get your list easily. So, Craig writes to us, here's the inevitable end of the year question. 2009 is over, so it has to be asked. What was the game of the year for each of you? Top five, if a single choice is too hard. If you guys didn't get time to think, I was just, while you guys were talking about that, I was thinking about them.
What?
That was last year.
Was it?
That's like almost 3 years ago.
You spent a year in the sand, remember?
Oh, shit, yeah.
So far, mine...
You've missed a lot of stuff.
Mine would have to be... And you guys made
Xbox or
no.
Of the year,
yeah. Batman, Infamous, Uncharted 2, Assassin's Creed 2, and then that one, there's this one sticking out. I'm like, I don't know which one that's going to be, and so I gave it to Killzone 2. But
Killzone 2 is the prettiest brown that's ever been.
It's not a slight on the game either. It's really pretty.
I have made my case. At least on the COG forums, whether, obviously not every whole lot of people that don't even visit that, I actually made a case there because somebody brought up, because Infamous is actually an odd choice, to be quite honest, but I kind of had to feel my way through that opinion and recognize that it was certainly not the most technically perfect, it was not the most imaginative, but there were so many things in it that just made it the best, 15 hours of gameplay I had in the entire year. I loved what they did. I really, really loved it. So I would have to say that was my favorite. Assassin's Creed 2 is terrific. Also goes into the top five. Torchlight and Dragon Age also go into the top five. Torchlight, I don't give a shit, absolutely deserves to be there. I know what it is, but holy shit, it's good stuff. It deserves to be there for the kind of thing that would maybe put it in its own category, like as a budget game category. But I don't think that necessarily needs to go into its own category.
No.
Get for what you pay,
is
immense. It's absolutely immense.
Which, you know what? I think I would probably take back my Killzone 2 and say Bowser's Inside Story. Yeah,
I know you would.
Totally.
For the same reason. Yeah, it's... and then for five, I don't know. I think I would maybe reluctantly put Batman at number five. Not really my thing.
Just because you have to have five.
Well, no, if I'm making a top five.
If you're doing a top five.
It would be Batman. But, yeah, if I made my choice, it would be Infamous for number one.
Jeremy?
The further I get away from Assassin's Creed 2, the easier it is for me to decide that Infamous was my favorite game of the past year. Because I look back on it more fondly, the actual playing of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think Assassin's Creed 2 would be my second. 3 and 4 would be Batman. And what was the other one you said? Because I agreed with it, now it's out of my head.
I said Batman, Uncharted 2.
Uncharted 2, yeah. Uncharted 2, and then Batman. And then I honestly have no idea. I'm probably forgetting something I enjoyed a lot.
This is what happens.
Yeah, it's that Wii game that you're talking about.
Editing the rest. Because I'd actually have to throw Dragon Age out in favor of Uncharted.
Yeah.
Because it's too good, man. It's too good. It's badass.
You've been in the sand for a while.
Yeah, so my list is probably going to be, different.
A year old?
Well, there you go. Bioshock.
Yeah, right.
Secret of Monkey Island.
Well, I guess Mass Effect, right?
And Metal Gear Solid 4. Yeah. Because I got that within this past year. Within this past year, I got MGS4, and it was damn good. No,
it was a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah, I'll have to say I agree. I think Infamous is starting to be like the number one for all of us. But that,
you're not going to find that.
And it was fun. It was a great ride.
You're not going to find. We're comfortable with the fact that that's an uncommon choice.
Yeah,
but it's very common amongst this group.
For me, big surprise in the Tales of Monkey Island. The five, the five episodes.
The five episodes that they take. They take places 1 through 5.
Yeah. The Tales of Monkey Island. I loved it. It was a great playthrough. The story was fun. The character. It was just familiar territory. It's Monkey Island, and it's always zany. And I had a great time with it. It's adventure gaming, and I miss that completely.
You got a lot to play, dude.
Yeah.
You've got so much to play.
I've been enjoying Borderlands. Even though I just picked it up.
And again, if I had only played Borderlands and Tales of Monkey Island, then Borderlands would be in my list.
Yeah.
But there's so much, man. You were so far behind. So
I did Dark Athena. Was that this past year?
Yes.
Okay, I played through that and beat that.
That was actually a good retail purchase.
Yeah.
Two good games.
You get two good games for that one price. That's really good.
They had it the BX on a disc for $10, and so I'm like, sure.
Yeah.
Pick that up. So there's my list.
RJ?
I think my favorite game right now is gonna be Demon's Souls, number one.
Fuck. Yeah, if I had gotten any deeper in that, I'm nowhere in it. So I can't do that, but man, no bullshit.
Yeah, when you hear this, keep in mind some of these games we didn't list that other people did because we just haven't played them.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, Demon's Souls is number one. I put Borderlands at number two. Batman, Arkham Asylum at number three. And rounded out the list, I put Street Fighter 4 and Blaze Blue. That's my top.
That's a good RJ list, actually.
I think, yeah. That's a solid RJ's list. Top five. There you go.
That's a solid list, anyway.
Dennis?
I'll see. Definitely Assassin's Creed 2. Yeah. Very much around the table. Shattered Memories, I enjoyed a hell of a lot.
We're coming to that email. Coming to that email.
Yeah, I'll go into reasons why and all that. After that, was Resident Evil 5 last year? I feel like it's older.
Yeah, actually it was March.
Yeah, that was definitely something I
knew. Oh, Res 5. Yeah, that 5. was March.
Playing
that with you. Yeah, well, I played that.
Yeah. I did too, and it still didn't make my list. Yeah.
Then Batman, Arkham Asylum, and I think Prototype probably would be my number 5.
Wow.
Maybe an outlier over there.
Yeah. Hey, I enjoyed Prototype. Apparently, like everybody else in the free world was like,
I don't think it did very well in the weeks after. I don't know. I don't think they got out of the box. People liked it a lot because he had a hoodie and a giant chitinous sword on him. whereas Cole dressed like a bike messenger for the whole game. You know, and honestly, I think that informed a lot of people's opinions. I'm not saying it did yours. I'm saying
a lot of people. If I had PS3, I'd be playing it. Yeah. Like Madden.
You know, he had a hoodie, so obviously he's badass. So
he's like all tight.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's,
for my fifth slot, I'm gonna make it a tie between.
What kind of cheap shit is that? What are you doing? Make it a tie.
I can do whatever the fuck I want. It's my list. Shadow Complex and Ratchet and Clank.
I
couldn't pick between the two of them, yeah. So there you go.
It's always interesting to do these lists. Love them. Yeah, he hates them. So this next email is from Frank Cohn. We got a tweet from Frank not too long ago that just confused the fuck out of us. That said that he apparently couldn't download our show on, like, 3 third world countries or something like that. I don't know. And we brought it up on the show, and we're like, what the hell is he talking about? Well, he wrote in, he thought he would explain his cryptic tweak. His wife and he were going on their annual cruise in the Caribbean, and when he does this, he downloads all the podcasts that he can listen to, so he has something to listen while he's waiting in lines and is offline on the ship. This cruise just happened to start on a week you skipped. The result was I ended up in the British West Indies when I first saw the 90 meg episode posted. That's a hell of an episode to catch up to if you're, you know. unfortunately, I was unable to download the large file there. Next, I tried to download it in the Grand Caymans. Still no luck. Next, I was in Belize, but of course, unsuccessful. Lastly, I was in Mexico thinking, hey, Mexico is a second world country. Their internet should be fine, but sure enough, I could only get 42 megs of it before it timed out. I had to wait until I was back in Miami to actually download the episode. So that's what he meant. That was a really... I didn't understand what he said when he first got that tweet. I was like, what? And then I went to his Twitter, and that was his only tweet he had ever done, was that one. I was like, what's going on? All right. Last email here from...
you know what I forgot about in my list?
Yes.
I'm not going to go back and amend it.
You're going to make it a third three-way tie?
But I forgot about Explosion Man. I feel kind of bad about that.
This is what happens. This is what happens when you do this shit.
Yep. I can't wait for my copy.
Here you can. You're not allowed to play it yet.
Spigot writes in specifically about Shattered Hill, Silent Hill Shattered Memories. Hey guys, have any of you had the pleasure of playing Silent Hill Shattered Memories on the Wii?
Yes, finally.
Dennis has. I completed it around New Year's Day.
Wait a minute. I'm out of disk space on here. Sorry, Dennis. You totally fucked, man. I totally ran out of space. I'm sorry.
Do I need to do my little Darth Vader?
No! I completed around New Year's Day, and wow, the ending is probably my favorite of any game from last year, and that includes Assassin's Creed 2 ending. If any of you are fans of the series, I highly recommend it. It uses the Wii controls perfectly. Nothing feels like a gimmick or motion control for the sake of motion control. And what are you doing over there?
See? It's all bored and starts looking around. We're reading somebody's email.
Do a show here.
Fuck off. Pay attention to this shit.
You show some goddamn respect.
So you need to spend more time in Iraq so you can learn some respect.
It uses the Wii controls.
This who commander's talking to you?
No.
It uses the Wii controls perfectly, and the removal of the clunky combat is probably the best thing they could have done, as it focuses the game on doing what Silent Hill does best, which is to get under your skin and just screw with your mind for hours. Dennis shakes his head on that.
Yeah.
I was also wondering... okay, well, then he goes into Steam, but let's stop there for a second and talk about Silent Hill. You've beaten the game.
Yes, I have beaten the game completely. And
you agree with that ending?
Absolutely.
Holy
it is
shit. God damn.
Really good.
You guys are going to make me play that.
I had an inkling of what the ending was going through the entire game, but not quite fully developed in my head until like right into the last 5 minutes. Like, this is what it's about.
Do you have to have played?
No, you don't need a damn thing from the Silent Hill series at
all.
Wow. You can go straight into this game and enjoy it.
Is it a remake of 1?
It is.
It's a kart racer.
As long as you're shooting out mushrooms.
Now it needs to be.
Hey man, I can see like a big chitty pyramid head.
Hey man, they had pyramid head in like a track and field game. So,
there's lots of fog, and the only way you know you're coming up on a turn is when your radio starts playing.
But It uses the characters from the first game.
Okay.
But it is completely its own story. It does not... You don't need to know anything about the original Silent Hill 1, aside from, like, some of the relationships of how the characters are. That's about it. You can just go straight into this game and enjoy for what it is. Like I said, there is no combat. It is whenever you have the, I think it's called the nightmare sequences, where the
world gets the cold, world
completely freezes over. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, the entire time you're on the hill, there's a massive snowstorm going on. You have big old snowdrifts blocking all streets and such.
Yeah.
But then, like, the world just goes dark and freezes over, and you.
Well, I saw the way that whole thing.
And you get chased by these.
Really, yeah.
Yeah, it reminds me of the little children in the school from the first Silent
Hill. I was going to say, Silent Hill is known for making some...
I don't know if that's better or worse. I couldn't play the first one because I was so terrified of the things in it, I didn't want to fight them.
Yeah.
So, like...
Oh, yeah, you'll be just as terrified as these.
Clearly, like, running is what I want to do. I just don't know if I actually want to do it.
I wanted to play one. The only experience I had with Silent Hill was number two.
Yeah,
that's one I've ever had experience with.
Two is very good.
Yeah,
but yeah, you end up running from these creatures in the sequence. You can.
They do get a hold of you. And you have to like
to shake. If you don't have to waggle, you just kind of have to shove in a certain direction based on where they're grabbing you. Like just take your Wiimote and nunchuck, like shove them to the left if they're like grabbing onto your shoulder and such, and you'll shake them off.
Ugh.
Yeah. It's really nasty when like two or three dog pile you, and you're trying to toss them off you.
Jesus.
About the only defense you get is you can find flares in the nightmare sequence, which, when you light them, the heat dries them off. It keeps them off of you. And you can either run with that while it lasts, or, like, you go through the door, you can drop it down on the ground and keep them from following you for a short time.
Oh, hey.
That's about the only weapon you ever have against these things. And nightmare sequences, they're not terribly long. Like, somewhere between 5 and 10 minutes.
How long does it take you to do the game?
The entire game... I want to say maybe between 6 to 7 hours. Okay. But I was like literally just going...
I'm just curious how a game that has no combat.
It when you're not in the nightmare sequence, it's very much like an adventure game. It's, you know, looking at the various clues, trying to find the hidden stuff. It's like haunted objects and such. You're like, phone will start going off. And,
lots of puzzle solving?
Not really.
No?
And any like locked doors is usually just like finding a cabinet you have to open with your Wiimote.
How,
or something like that.
Something I saw at E3 that they didn't really expand on, but I was curious about. How was that psych test, that psych evaluation?
It's very thorough. It's different. There's the initial questions, which I think are the same ones you see there.
Because I know that determines like how the game treats you, I think.
But you get, as you go through, you get more, you go back to that psychological exam. It's like different things like, color this picture of a happy family at their house. And it's like right before you get to your house in the main game.
Mm-hmm.
So you color it, and like you go back there, and the house and the car and everything there is colored exactly how you colored it on the picture. Which makes it kind of goofy when you like have a big bright purple house in there.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's like stuff like that. And, you know, you come back for further questions, stuff like put these pictures of couples together at how best you think. And, you know, there's no wrong answer, but based on how you do it.
Right. I was shown an example of like it was meeting those two in the bar, that couple in the bar early in the game.
Yeah.
I can't remember how it was determined, but based on my actions, just getting outside and then going to that bar was going to determine either how they reacted to me or who I met.
Yeah, I know there's one point where you can go either into a bar or a diner. If you go into a diner, you meet Sybil,
the cop,
who can look different, like completely different, based on your psychological profile.
Jeez. Really?
Like, the first time I went through, she kind of looked like the first one, except she had like her blouse open, you know. You see, like, cleavage of doom and such. And, man, second time, she looks like a character out of Fargo. Like, jacket, tie and such, very,
no,
very conservative.
No boobs.
Looking. Yeah.
No boobage.
No, none of that.
It's always a shame.
But I'm wondering, because you meet other characters later on.
Yeah, and how all that stuff
how much
changes.
That's different. Because I haven't, even though I've beaten them, I haven't, like, try to look up exactly what alternative paths there are through the game. But apparently it is very different based on how you respond to things.
I knew that was in there, and I was curious as to how I guess I was curious as to really how does that, you know, we've been told before that, oh, your actions will change such and such, or will determine certain things. I thought, really, how well does this work, and how does it actually influence
the game? Yeah, it does affect it. I don't know if it, like, changes, I don't think it changes the arc significantly as to what you're doing and how it goes. But
I know that they said that, like, if you have a, there was in a warehouse, I think, in a back room or something like that, there was a sign on the wall that said exit and a sign on the wall that said restrooms.
Mm-hmm.
You came to a T-intersection there.
Yeah.
If you were more prone not to explore, I think you got less. Like, the game would give you less little things here and there as far as stuff. But if you went to the restroom and searched through there, likely to be a scare or something like that. I think it depended on how you explored the game. It would learn your actions and that sort of thing.
I don't think that's so much. Not as far as things you can find.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely as far as characters' reactions to you.
Maybe that was the case. Maybe,
like, first time I went through, like, everybody was like, you know, I went to the bar first, and he's like, oh, here, take a drink. I'm like, no. And, like, but, like, every other, like, cutscene where I was at anywhere with alcohol, everybody's like, oh, no, pour yourself a drink here. And I'm wondering if I'm going to run into that, since this time around I went to the diner first.
Oh.
If I'm even going to, like...
So you're doing a second playthrough this time, yeah. Yeah, you know, you get praise from him, praise from you on this.
Like I said, it's really good. I would recommend to anybody, rent it before you buy it.
That's a big statement there, saying it was better than Assassin's Creed, Creed 2's and...
yeah, the ending, I don't even want to say it, because it's very easy to...
I don't want you to.
You said it was on Wii and PS2?
It's on Wii right PSP. Now. PS2 and PSP versions will come out.
I think it's this month, towards the end.
Yeah, either the end of this month or the beginning of February.
Because I'm curious, to get on the Wii or the PSP.
I enjoy it on the Wii. I thoroughly enjoy it. I don't have a problem with the controls at all. The Wiimote will basically control your flashlight, let you look around and such. And in fact, in the Nightmare areas, if you turn off your flashlight and don't run around for a little while, you can get away with kind of being stealthy and getting past creatures. You can go right next to one, but eventually you'll hear the very inhuman scream and know this guy is after you.
Right.
And you can have a chance to hide, you know, if you find a little hiding spot along the way, but you can't stay there. They will eventually start, like, I don't know how a faceless thing can chew the air, but apparently it does. And will, like, sniff you out and, like, drag you out of your hiding spot wherever you are.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, but it's useful for, like, you know, if you got, like, three doors go through, let them go through another door, and then you get out and go through the other one that you know they aren't at.
I'm keenly aware all of a sudden that we're entirely alone in this giant building late at night.
Not to mention it's also cold as hell outside.
Yeah, right.
Oh, Jesus. And in fact, this cold snap's coming up here is maybe like this all week.
Come That's on. Fun.
Just turn all the lights out now.
Yeah, yeah, any game that affects me this much, just based on having seen other people play it,
yeah.
Then, like, I should probably, I owe it to myself to play it. But,
yeah. Lights off, headphones.
Do they have the civil defense sirens also?
No, they do not have the sirens. That
was great in the first
one. Yeah, they were, but it... The sounds of the town freezing over is very clear and distinct.
Just as...
Yeah.
Okay, so... All right.
And the view is as well, from what I understood. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was very
obvious. I mean, literally, you see, like, ice just building up around the buildings. Yeah. And as, lampposts bending as they start getting frozen over. I think in the first one, the car alarm starts going off because the car has, like, been knocked up off of its tires by one of the... ice formations building up under it.
Very interested now.
Yeah.
Have to play that.
Yeah, I'll bring it by next week.
Spigot goes on to say that I was also wondering how much you guys spent on the Steam sale this year. It dropped just over $200, but when you take into account that I was able to get 38 or so games plus mini expansions, it worked out to be about $5 or $6 per game, which is an absolute steal, even if not every game is amazing. It really makes it hard to walk into a game store and see the prices on box copies of games and not feel like this is some kind of fundamental disconnect going on.
There is.
Yeah.
With just a little bit of luck, though, this is exactly the sort of thing we'll be doing on the consoles in, I don't know, 5 to 10. Which game do they actually run out of copies of?
Prey.
It was Prey. They ran out of license keys.
Yeah, license keys.
which was odd. But yeah, it's good shit, man. Really good shit.
Yeah. We covered that, how much I spent. It came out to about $3-something per game for me, for what I bought. So I bought a shit ton of stuff on Steam. So he also says, don't try playing Silent Hill Origins on the PSP and Spirit Tracks on the DS back-to-back. Your mind will explode from the thematic shifts. Keep up the good work, fellas. Brock, a.k.a. Spigot. And that was our last email of the gigantic two-week period that we had here. So.
Cool.
That's it. We gotta go face the cold.
Yeah, we do.
And the demons and whatever else.
Yeah.
And run the hill. And we are entirely alone in this building with a picture of Alma.
Yeah, I know. It's been staring at us.
You need a picture of that, by the way.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's see if I can take a picture of it. But anyway,
we'll do that later.
Yeah. So.
All right. Talk to you guys next week.
Yep. Have a good one.
See you later.
See you later.
Bye.